So we definitely can call out to some other.
Yeah, I think we can call out. August 2009.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what you can do.
Around the 3rd of September? Yeah. But I can tell you there are a lot.
I knew that much.
Yeah. Well, it's color. I thought it would be
because that's the proposed date for a stilling basis.
Right, that's why we're only taking one letter
out of the one. All righty. The fish
counts come down. Let's try that really high piece. Yeah, $28 to steal every day, $34 in the 20s again the next day. But now we're down.
Down to where it normally is.
I'll take $12. I don't know what it was yesterday.
So it's kind of a slowly
going
down there.
I will call you when you're on. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see after the season if that was.
I would guess. I suspect it was.
I would say four.
I know.
Okay. I will. I'll call you when you're on. I guess I can ask for elderly from my cell phone.
Following your temperature, your it's starting to climb.
Yeah, it's just over 70.
Okay. Yeah, but it wasn't 72.
I don't know. I'm supposed to know.
I don't know. The last week for the first time.
So, yeah, I'll call you Friday.
This big man gets up.
I'll call you Saturday.
I was sort of
like start calling up.
I'm going to be on Everybody's got an agenda. If you don't, I have agendas up here. I've got some handouts, which came from Walla Walla. So I'd like to go over the agenda and then maybe have some add-ons last minute. Has everybody had a chance to review the July minutes so I can approve those? Comments? Anybody?
When I finish reviewing them, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well,
that might be in December.
Yeah. You mean never?
I guess I wouldn't hear. All
right. Well, I'm going to assume, consider those approved as of right now if I don't hear anything. Going once, twice, approved.
Approved by
by the man. The man at the end of the table. I guess just let's go around the room so we can introduce ourselves in case somebody doesn't know somebody. I think everybody does, but just in case. Bernard Platt, Corps.
David Wills, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Doug Bowes, Corps of Engineers.
Rick Kruger, Oregon Fish and Wildlife.
Derek Schwartz, Corps.
Tom Lewis, Quickfoot.
Dave Bennett, Fish Passage Center.
Gary Ferguson, Fisheries.
Eric Clarkson, Pacific States, and Laundry.
Derek Clarkson, Corps.
Jason Sweet, BPA.
Scott Bennett, BPA.
Ann Stevenson, WDFW.
Eric Wolfman, BPA.
Shane Scott, Public Power Council.
John Bailey from Corps.
John Rarisich, Corps.
Tammy Mackey, Corps.
Tim Dykstra, Corps.
So, nobody's on the phone because with our phone conference set up, you have to call in 5 minutes before, and Tammy didn't call in at 9 this morning.
At
so
nine?
She lost it.
At
yeah,
nine?
She set it up for all day.
Oh.
So, you know.
So we've got no phone?
Things happen. So if you know somebody that needs to call in.
Blackmore.
Like, I do. Oh, we're going to have our ECC guy call?
Him.
Oh, you did.
Okay.
Okay.
Because we can call them or conference them in when they need it.
Okay.
So well, Jim Ruff was going to try to call in, but I guess not.
Who?
Jim Ruff.
So is Bill Hatton.
I think Steve.
Bill's going to be so pissed at me.
He will. I don't think so.
Send him an email.
He did call in to SCT, so he's making his medication.
Okay.
Do you guys have a line we can set up here?
Right. We just call
in your office.
We
usually we don't at last minute.
I think people understand and figure it out.
How many of you guys think they need?
Just ECC from Bonneville and Derek Fryer from Walla Walla.
Matt Mason might call in, hopefully, for the Smith Root thing.
Might not.
Courtney is
going to
call in.
You won't be able to call. So, I don't know, I'll see what you can do. In the meantime, let's just go over the agenda. Skip down, we got the updates, but if we go to the meat of it, four is contact information for FPOM. I'd like to get an updated list. Five is Derek will call in for that, for Lamprey Passage and McDerry. Granite RSW repairs, who's covering that?
I will.
Tim will cover that. Goose spill bay weir, goose damage to NPE3.
I got all. Yeah, I got them.
The spill response plans, after the last FPOM, we were supposed to meet and go over spill response plans, but kind of people were burnt out by that time, so hopefully you have at least looked at those and we can talk about them. Outage schedules are on page 6. Fish counts, obviously we've got some issues at the core. We'll give updates on that, but I think we found a way around some of that for the short term. Stilling Basin Survey, John, you're going to cover that. And then we have a treaty fishing for Critfic, conflict with Bonneville Maintenance. Doug, you're going to go over that. Ice and trash sluice way at the Dalles, Clugston. We had a meeting prior to, when was that meeting anyway? Sometime.
July.
Anyway, we will discuss
my
that
agenda
as well.
Look the same as your agenda.
If you don't have the same agenda that I'm reading, I'm going through 15 is Dalles.
See what she's done.
Whoa.
This is different.
All right, so if you printed one, you printed the wrong one.
You burned.
230-5600. Well. 230-5600, and Tammy, if you could just send it out to all of
the phones. Oh, well, don't we have to call him?
You can call him first, John.
It's all you have to wait.
Do you have the right one now? 15 is the Dalles AWS?
Yes.
Okay. 16, the Smith Root research proposal. 17, improvements from the stimulus or the ARRA funds. You put a list down there for the Portland district. 18, fish passage changes. 19, 2010 fish passage changes.
230-5600.
20 is the FPOM meeting in September. So is there anything to add on?
There was an item that came up at TMT yesterday, and the action agencies are requesting input. They were originally asking maybe a FPAC, but I think this group can help to prioritize what turbine units in the system are of the most priority for fish passage.
Well, isn't that what our fish passage plan does?
Well, talking about repairs. So
turbine unit maintenance priority.
Yeah. Where's Gary?
So
the other thing, you know, you should link, is BPA aware? I mean, BPA needs to be, and that's like in their hydro amp. They have a rating on maintenance and schedule and when things are supposed to be, you know, who's next on the list for money and where money's being funneled to for rehab. And so, I mean, that would be a good people to have there.
Okay.
Like Mike Alder's group.
So are they requesting just a list, or
they wanted
making a list?
Tony Norris had requested input from the fish people to put together a priority of what units are the most important, so that either scheduling for maintenance or money for rehab or repairs or other things like that can be. We can have a list for the TMT people to know what's the most priority.
Okay, so taking the turbine unit priority list and prioritizing it for maintenance.
Just like someone will call us in.
Status, updated status of maintenance.
But I mean, is Unit 1 at John Day more important than Unit 12 at the Dalles?
Right, right.
Yeah, something like that, whatever it might be.
Within your district. Status of maintenance.
There's a, you know, there's already a list, you know, through HydroAmp. You know, that group has prioritized what units they want to see because of...
Yeah, I'm unfamiliar with the group. But
because of need. I mean, when it comes to, you know, they're not meeting their, you know, reliability standards on those units. And so there may be a good opportunity for those people to talk about how to prioritize those.
Okay, and so, that's a BPA group?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it may sound that it's pretty bad if you can see the list of the most important little
to help mesh that in.
Yeah, Captain Hacker is my
stakeholder.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
those guys?
Yeah. Who?
It's me. Oh, okay. You got the ringing or me?
That's like, that was the weirdest thing.
Hello. Oh,
Scott
in
space.
Why is Scott on the telephone? Well, so Shane, can you tell Mesa what the number is?
Somebody call Jim Ruff. Tell him what the number is.
I think he's on the F-POD distribution list. All right, anything else to add on?
Yeah, we got a new number.
Credit,
what's our new number?
230.
5600.
5600? Okay, it's 503-230-5600.
You just called him and it didn't work.
Yeah, that's just for you. What?
You're that important.
Okay, Russ. Well, talk to you then. Bye.
The lower granite colonoscopy.
Colonoscopy?
Yeah, what's the result?
When you flush the pipe, is either something
the ROV inspection?
Yeah, it's on here. I can give you the update now.
Okay.
But, I don't get one.
What number is it?
It's, well, I was going to cover it under, it's 2.5 action item. It's also a 311 update. Yeah.
Any other add-ons? Gary usually has one.
Colonoscopy. Bonneville Unit 11.
Bonneville Unit 11.
One update?
Want it to be work done.
I want it done tomorrow.
Is it going to get done?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all. There's one promise.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it. Is Bob Courtney on the line?
Yeah.
Bob, we're going to start right off with action items.
Yeah, are you trying to get on the line?
That makes sense.
So we're going to talk about John Day being an array.
They said a change. It says somebody didn't pay the phone bill.
Okay.
She made cookies instead.
No, no, no.
The number, new number is 503-230-5600. Yeah, it's a
big deal. This line's not working.
It's a secret line.
That's like a bunch of traders here on our phones.
Nah, you can just dial straight
in. Remote. Yeah, you want to trade big? Okay, so okay.
No, this, I keep calling. I've called it and it doesn't work.
Okay.
Bob called it.
Yeah, Cordy's on.
I think that one person can be on.
No.
From what?
Is that it?
Yeah, one person can be on at a time because I've tried to call in.
From what?
There was more than one.
Corp?
So besides Bob Cordy and anybody else on the line?
This Russ Keeper, I made it.
All right.
Let's go.
Okay. Hi.
Is that Bill?
Bill Ed here.
Hey, Bill.
Hi.
I just got in.
Maybe that's
your I was going
to
get in.
Four cell phones.
You have your own secret little car.
Yeah, you have to have an ASIC code. Freak out. All right, so we're going to get started. Bob Cordy, John Day, Vina Array. Apparently there's a update using synthetic lines.
Yes. Sean sent in some stuff that that Tammy was saying that she included in the F-Farm write-up, so you guys have some reading material.
It's on the agenda.
Okay, so if you want me to walk through any of that, or you can just scan through it if there's any questions.
It's italicized on the new agendas.
Yeah, it says that we're completing an internal review of the 60% report. It's going to go out for regional review within a couple of days from today. And the project delivery team has tentatively selected alternative two as their preferred alternative, which is synthetic lines and no pole in the river. So I guess, can you elaborate on that?
Well, that pretty much sums it up.
Why the synthetic lines? What are they?
The synthetic lines are...
synthetic.
I guess it's hard to explain. Real thin type of rope. Apparently it's UV resistant and it's stronger. As strong or stronger than stainless, and it's lighter.
Okay, so what's the array
lighter that takes care of the whole tensioning and weight issue. They're able to span the across the entire river without a pole.
And installation date? Winter maintenance period will be done?
I don't know if they have a date nailed down for installation, but it'll be similar to last year where they need to have it in before spill, so... I don't think they nailed down a startup date for actually the install. The schedule is really tight on this. I was involved with the BE study last 2 days, just trying to go through alternatives, try to save on some cost and still accomplish the same mission. And at the end, we were informed that the schedule is real tight. There's no room for lost time schedule for getting it done. So I'm hoping to pull it off.
Yeah, Bob, this is Tom Lewis. Is it going to be the layout that they were supposed to get in last year? That's the
yes. One of the criteria is to cover the entire BRZ.
It's going to be the wire design they had last year that didn't work. But with these wires, they think they can make that work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, but they're actually looking at a closer
synthetic line. They can make it work. And then the VE study is not finalized, but one of the things that came up in the VE study was the possibility of using aluminum because that is the industry standard for transmission lines, and the strength is the same, if not better. And so that was one of the primary proposals from the VE study.
Was to use aluminum?
Yeah, that pencils out.
What's the diameter of those things?
Well, it's not going to be the same diameter as the transmission line, but it'll...
We can charge it up and all that.
Yeah.
Is this going to be for your wind generation punch cover?
Yeah. When you compare the strengths, just, the same diameters, and you compare the two strengths, the aluminum comes in a little better.
Okay.
Bob, has this ever been used anywhere before for this application?
Aluminum for avian line?
No, the wire you're talking about.
Oh, the synthetic?
Yeah.
No, not that we're aware of.
Is it synthetic like Kevlar or some material like that?
Yeah, it's real similar to Kevlar. In fact, it may even have Kevlar in it. I don't know.
Bob, this is Dave Wills. I'm curious what the diameter of this line is, and does it have any particular color?
Well, actually, color was one of the things that was discussed at the VE study to try to actually alter colors in the line just to add to confusion to the birds.
Red, white, and blue like an American flag?
Yeah, maybe. And the diameters are comparable to anything steel or aluminum for the same strength or better.
Now, Bob, you guys are trying to get a meeting together 21st, week of the 21st of September, is that right, to talk about this in more detail?
Yeah.
Let me see here.
Sean sent that out. Week of the 21st of September.
Well, we'll put it on FPOM in September as an update, and then it'll also be covered.
I'm thinking maybe you want to wait till that meeting.
Get the details.
Yeah. Well, what about the maybe in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's,
I don't know if they're at the level of detail yet to discuss that. They said they're going to be 90% by September. So, let's see what Tack Lady has got here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there will be some work being done on the North Ladder, so the coordination between where they need to attach and the stuff working.
You want to discuss this?
Pardon me. Huh?
Yeah. Is going to work with the North Line?
Well, that's why I was going to say, yeah.
Okay.
And will that be removed at the end of the year?
No wire?
To get the deflector built? So it's only a 1 year.
No. It depends on when the deflector goes in. When the deflector goes in.
That's
the plan. No, I've mentioned that earlier. Yep. Thank you. They need to have the meeting to talk about it in detail. Yep. We tried to write the smart form.
I don't know what the date is.
The winner.
I didn't find it. The date of the John Damian Gray meeting.
Used to.
I think that was yesterday.
Yeah,
yeah, he sent it out yesterday. I'm just trying to dig it up.
Oh, he sent the email out yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
I should add to that, too. We're trying to look into some new technologies for the hazing part of it as well. There's apparently the military has some nifty acoustic things that they're able to emit a sound and really focus it out to, you know, mile, up to a mile. So we're looking into that as another tool, aside from just the same old pyros.
Yeah, I think all that will be talked about on the flooding.
Okay, so why don't we just, if anything comes up, we'll bring it up at FBOM, but plan on that meeting in September 20th, the week of the 21st, I guess. Thanks, Bob.
Sure.
2.3 is spillway repairs at Bonneville. Randy Lee was going to provide an update. I haven't heard from him. Have you gotten anything?
Mm-mm.
Anybody?
Mm-mm.
About to move that to the September.
We're doing, in, you know, part of that is that hydro survey. First week of September.
There's also some gate work that they're trying to squeeze in with the low pool the first week of September, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what we're we got that on
That's
here.
That's all on the agenda.
Okay. 2.4 was John Day's fish ladder outages. Rick was going to inquire if he had any concerns within his agencies, but said go for it. Is there any?
I've not inquired. I spaced it.
Okay.
In the month of June, and have been gone since the 28th of June, so.
Carry that one.
Welcome back.
Did you go to Alaska?
No,
Southern California,
uh-huh.
San Diego.
All right. 2.5, nighttime versus Lamprey County language in the contract. Greg was going to look at it to clarify whether the counters are recording everything on the video or just Lamprey.
Yeah, it is just Lamprey.
Okay. Are they seeing a bunch of other things, I guess, is the question to ask.
Yeah.
What else is on there?
It's been frustrating. It doesn't make sense to me, but this is how the contract reads, and we are getting just Lamprey information right now. I don't think the next contract like this isn't going to read this way. It's going to be total counts, but this one is signed and in place, and it is just Lamprey.
Isn't there nighttime sockeye at Grant this year, though? That's what I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're getting nighttime sockeye counts and Lamprey counts at Granite. But the other two are just Lamprey nighttime counts. So
we will note that for the next contract.
Yep.
So, you have looked at foot tags, the passing night, soccer, and it's like 5% of the thing. That's about it. Those Granite's higher, it's like 19 or something. I don't know if that's...
It was definitely teams. Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. It often is. That was like 12 or 15, yeah, 10.
Mm-hmm.
What was the other project besides Grant?
Yeah,
McNary and Bonneville.
Yep. I thought McNary, like, a lot of
30,000 50,000 stuff that disappeared. Yeah. Do you know who is compiling the data from the nighttime cameras?
Yeah, that's
good. I mean, we're just counting them, but I'm just wondering what's being done with the numbers, if anything.
Well, that's what Greg is compiling those. And those are updated online for
nighttime.
I believe the lower, like,
I don't know if they get online, but they're using the a lot of the ladder corrections they use that TAC uses. Because TAC uses them and they use those nighttime correction factors to estimate for day and pass. That's why you do the nighttime stuff. You need to check these.
I can ask Greg more specifically on your question.
Mute it. Mute it.
Let's have one.
Let's have one.
Have a cigarette, Bill.
You got the oxygen.
Yeah.
We're here to help, Bill.
Okay. Mr. Bob, the internet, I've got a lot of chemicals running in my system, and I kind of drifted off of it. Sorry.
Yeah,
I
know.
It's
okay. Give me a break.
All right. I'll go back and ask Greg about specifically what's being, where the data are being, how it's written out. I know that he's compiling them, but I don't know what he's doing as far as.
That would be good to know if we get to access
them. Yeah, access. I'll ask Greg about access.
Okay. 2-6 is
Colosby.
Granite's operation of fish trap.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, did you ask me something specific there?
No.
You're
just, no, we did not, Bill.
Not off the needle.
Okay.
Yeah, so we did the inspection, and unfortunately, we didn't find anything. So what we were hoping to find with the ROV inspection was something obvious, like
bad valve, stuck valve.
Yeah, stuck valve, a big piece of debris, a tire, a barrel, something.
Dead cow, who knows?
Found nothing. One thing that Sean Milligan was there, I think folks know Sean, he had anticipated that the pipe was going to be... it was going to be plain steel, and they found that it's a concrete-lined pipe, and apparently he didn't know that. And so concrete-lined pipe means two things. It's a lot rougher inside, which is going to change flow. Or could change flow, as well as it's going to take away some of the volume where water would be flowing, and now it's filled with concrete. And so he was going to run some calculations to figure out what that meant. He just sent me a brief synopsis. He's working on a full-blown write-up and analysis of this, but all we have now is no obstruction, but was interested to note that it's a concrete-lined pipe, which calculations were not... From what Sean tells me, he didn't believe that calculations were being based on a concrete-lined pipe. They're being based on a plain steel pipe.
Ed, what's the main difference of concrete versus steel? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Spun mortar.
Yeah, and if it's the one that's old and it's
old,
yeah.
And it's fitted, it's less fast.
Yeah. You can hope it's
steel. So it's certainly not it's not like Sean didn't report back and say, oh, we did the ROV, and now we know exactly what's causing the problem. This was just, we ruled out an obstruction, and now there's more information, and he's going to run some new calculations, but hasn't been able to do that yet. So
I missed the meeting where you talked about this, I think. What was the problem? Oh, that problem.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
And they were hoping that there was something in this pipe.
Got it.
And so Sean went back and checked all the calculations, which said, I'm sorry, but the calculations say there should be enough water there. Why do we have enough water just to fill three tanks, or maybe two, maybe three? There should be enough water to fill all six. We're not getting that much. and we know when we go above MOP, we're also, that doesn't help us. Going above MOP should give us more water in tanks, and it's not. And so the first thought was he re-looked at the calculations. Based on his calculations, based on what he thought he knew, the calculations were right. So then, okay, is there an obstruction? We ran the ROV just last week,
okay,
and there's no obstruction. Now the new piece of information is concrete.
So is the concrete, the ID of the concrete laying pipe, the to specifications, does it match the ID of the pipe that it was supposed to be built as?
It'll be more the roughness coefficient.
I realize that, but I'm just wondering if...
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to talk to Sean. Yeah, I just got a quick email, and he's been out the last few days, so I didn't really get to drill into a lot of questions.
If you get something ahead of time, let us know. If not, we'll wait.
All right. I would end. Since we have an FPALM the 10th of September,
yeah.
So we'll definitely strive to hit that, and if I get something sooner, I will send it out.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Yep.
Okay, the updates, the Bonneville JMF flushing water.
The flushing water, we changed the operation, so the flushing water would stay on continuously rather than shut off automatically after half an hour until it's either manually turned off or water levels come back up in the DSM. So it should just run until we're ready. We're good there.
Okay. 3-2 is the Bonneville Fish Unit trash rake. We were out there, a group of us from the district and Project Fisheries, looking at it and talking with the actual engineer. That designed it came out and talked with the riggers, and we came up with a test. We're going to test it. We're going to test it in mid-September. You guys can all come and look at it, but before we do that, there's these two guide brackets on the top, and the project is gonna put on two more on the bottom because apparently when it came down, it would float out. So it never.
That's a lot of questions.
Yeah. So
never fix anything else.
So this is the first step. The first step is to put those in and test it and take the ROV. Either John is now the master driver of the ROV.
All right.
That they have in Bonneville.
Certification.
Call him Master R. And
Mr. Rowe.
We're going to look at it before we do the trash rake. Put the trash rake in. Maybe we can mount it on there somehow and look at it, go down there. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a really small window of viewing. So if we have any, if we have to back up and look at a big picture of anything, it's going to be really difficult. But
our plan is to go down, rake it with the bucket, existing porosity that's on it, find out, pull it up, see all the water and stuff come out, and then probably have to take the bucket off, send it, and get some holes put into it because the holes in there are about this big around.
And they won't plug at all, I'm sure.
No. So that's the first step, is to test it and see if it actually goes down and stays where it's supposed to. And then the second thing would be to take it and modify it again. And then the third thing would be to leave it where it is
for another 10 years.
For fish habitat. And modify the rake that is there, which apparently the issue is the teeth, there's no teeth actually going between the trash bars. So I don't know. It's quite a piece of work that
it is.
If you've never seen it.
Are we going to do clips on this first thing, too, or is that
the clips?
Not going to happen yet?
No. No, it's just putting those two bottom guides on and seeing if it'll actually function the way it was designed to function.
It'll go up and down.
Yeah, go up and down and actually be able to take a grab and come up the rack.
So it'll stay on the racks, and then actually making it so it can actually remove.
Yeah. Well, it might work, but it'd have to be a slow pull.
So,
and the thing is, the weight on that thing is
huge.
It's maxing out the crane.
About the design.
Everything that we've looked at, and I've looked at it, is the design is, for one, you have to override the limits of the current gantry to get it to travel past certain areas. So we're, and then when the thing is, the current weight of it empty is almost at the max capacity of the gantry, hoist that it's on. So if you grab a 2-ton log, you know, it's,
Stay some, tuned. But we will put out the date if you want to come out and watch this, because I can't wait myself.
I'll bring the bubble up.
Well, I
might want to reserve that. It's going to be stocked in the cider trust.
So the engineer is actually...
one for Lamprey. This
he's there. Getting back mid-September, and we'll hopefully have those two new brackets welded and manufactured and put on there. So look for a update on that. Probably at the 10th of September at Palm Beach. It'll probably be towards the latter end of September. But hey, that's progress, man.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Well, since it's been there for 10 years, and this
see that?
I actually heard actually it's been put on the rack. It's
taken me 2 years.
Baby steps.
Model truck pad alterations. Is that Mr. Bailey?
Okay. The modifications truck pad were completed August 5th, and modifications included a new catch basin barrel and that's flush to the ground, so when they flush the line and the hoses and all that, it isn't washing away the gravel. It goes right down the catch basin. So that's good. Other things they did were they have a new 1.5-inch hose and hanger along with the 3/4 size garden hose on the lower part of the truck pad for small tankers. So those are all working order.
So they have a little closed nozzle attachment to it?
Yeah, they have nozzles on all the hoses except the 4-inch hose. For the 3,500-gallon tanker, we have a new revamp 4-inch hose and a new garden hose suspended from above so the driver no longer has to get up and down the...
Oh, thank God.
Okay. Anyway.
Poor guy.
Anyway, they were tested on the 6th, the next day, and we successfully unloaded a 3,500-gallon tanker without too much problem. One big change was the seal on the outload hose so the fish don't come back out the pipe. They won't be able to now. So, and procedures that they learned last year helped a lot to what not to do as well as what to do. Since August 16th, the first day of trucking, and I haven't heard anything bad that has happened. You know, they had the usual thing about moving the hose around and would have winded up and all this kind of other stuff, but nothing really.
Did you guys finally take our advice and hang a sign on this thing, the Herson Memorial flush?
Well, you'll have to ask John.
You're going to have to.
Yeah.
I like
it.
Yeah.
Just put it on a toilet seat.
Yeah, exactly.
Toilet seat so, with it hanging in there.
Transport bars?
Okay. As far as a revised manual, I have a preliminary manual, but no pictures to make sure that everybody knows where everything is. So I'm working on that part. I'd like to thank John's help and Pat Hunter for making it possible.
John, have you seen that thing work? John, have you seen it work? Has anybody seen it actually?
I have not yet. No.
Something to go down there and check.
Yes. What's the schedule for trucks?
Even days this month.
Even days this month?
In August.
What time did they show up?
They start showing up around noon, 11 o'clock to noon, and then they, depends on when they leave their facilities, but usually the McNary truck shows up first, and then Little Goose or Lomo, and then last would be Granite. And they're usually done by 3.
You can just have the control room call you.
Yeah.
When they get here and get down there.
Great. All right. Bonneville trash sluiceway automated gates.
We seem to be experiencing problems with noise interference between the control room and the box on the 77 level. And we're trying to figure out what to do about that, and the project will probably replace it, and they may go with fiber optics. So there's that communication. There's also an issue with 6C. When lifted up high, it gets hung up, and when lowering, the cables go slack, and that slack cable alarm turns the unit off. And they need to figure out where it's getting hung up at and why. So we don't have full control of that yet as far as being automated.
What are you thinking of working on that, the guys? Winter.
That's a good question. I believe they're trying to figure it out now.
Debris or
What's that?
Debris, or I mean, the guide should have been checking to put the gate in.
Yeah, it's yeah. getting hung up somewhere when it gets into high position.
Eight different cycles, automated cycles, up and down, up and down, up and down, and nothing.
The guide should have been okay.
So
unless something's damaged at this
yeah.
year. Okay, so they need a dive for that, or is it
They haven't requested a dive.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's binding somewhere. You just have to identify where in the travel it's binding.
Or it stops.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll continue to have an update on that in the next step.
Yeah.
The Dalles, juveniles in the gate wells.
Before we leave that one,
Sorry.
So everything else is working okay? All the other units? This is six.
Six is the one with the major problem.
So once you get past the interference issue, the other
issue. They should work as far as I know, yeah.
Right, three is working fine, and one's manual, so.
I mean, are you guys thinking of trying to do something before spill stops? Or just kind of push off to the right? So I'm saying, because right now there's not going to be a lot of fish over there, and you probably don't have any units on.
Right.
It seems like it's going to be an ideal time to go over there and take a quick look.
I believe they're working on it right
it's
now.
Not gonna be water right now. Okay.
As far as I know. But I will check on that.
Bob Cordy?
Yeah.
Dalles juveniles in the gate wells. Can you give an update, please?
Yeah, I'm thinking this can be crossed off the list for now because we're not seeing any pattern to the few gate wells that we have. The orifice is closed. Given the fact that we don't have the best data because of the visibility of it, but what we've seen so far, there doesn't really seem to be a pattern. So we'll just keep monitoring it, and if we're seeing anything that looks otherwise, we'll let up Palm Mill.
Okay. Thanks. 3.6 is ROV inspection results for Portland District. Who's got that?
Well, the project bought an ROV, so we got myself and another guy that got trained initially on it, so we conducted the ROV inspection. It took a bit longer than we were hoping. It took 3 days to do the Powerhouse 2 and the spillway and Powerhouse 1. There's a bit of a learning curve there. By the end, we got a lot faster and better operating it. So the next one, hopefully, will go quicker. But
another one?
Why don't you get the new one?
What's that?
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm trying really hard not to crash a thing and then get it sucked in any orifice. But, it worked really good. We were able to see, you know, everything really clearly, and everything was in place. All the grates were in place. The clips looked good. No unusual amounts of debris. So it went good.
Mm-hmm. Ken, we're ordering the capability so you can record and voice, I think also voice record.
Yeah.
So if you find a spot, you can document it on tape, and so people can see. And that was an add-on. Of course, there are all these little bells and whistles you can order extra.
Sure. Two seconds to leave, so when you start swearing, when they suck in the orifice.
Yeah.
Yep. You
get
that out. Got a GPS location, so you know exactly where it
is.
Compass. So anyway.
And I believe, Bob, didn't you guys get ROVs as well?
Yeah, we finished the ROV for both the Dalles and John Day, and everything looked good on the grading. No problems were found.
Great.
What's the visibility on that, John? How far could you see with it?
You know, you really needed to be within a couple of feet. Yeah, once you got out 3, 4, 5 feet, you can see, but you can't see clearly.
It's got a light on?
And then, it's got lights on it. And then your window view, you know, when you're in close, it's pretty small. So you can fly it over and, you know, go along the edges and look at individual clips and get really good images of that. But, you know, trying to look at something from afar, you know, something big, it's going to be difficult.
So you just put the fisheye lens on and you can get
really
close.
Yeah. Maybe.
No pilot sturgeon this time.
But it was, no, we didn't see any of those. But, it worked pretty good for as far as our inspection went. Did really good. The image was really good.
Hey, John, did you have any problems with ladder flow in that ROV that you guys bought?
Excuse me?
Did you have any problems with the ladder flow and the ROV that you guys purchased? Were you able to get up there up into the ladder enough?
We were able to see the gratings along, you know, before you get to the weirs. But, yeah, I mean, we throttled back on fish valves and fish units, and we were able to get through the flow pretty good. It makes it a little harder to steer, but it wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, ours was the Army or Navy, I can't remember which, contracted one, so it's a pretty beefy ROV. But they still, there's always a portion of the fish ladder that they just can't get to. No matter what, you can't get to it unless you know, shut down the ladder. So, because we never even could get to them with divers on just a few sections, the lower part of the ladder.
Yeah,
the one that they had worked all right, but we're thinking the same thing again of getting the ROV big enough to do the same thing.
We didn't go over any weirs, and we had trouble when we got to the accelerator wall at Powerhouse 1 upstream of that.
So is the plan to continue using that and not use the Army divers?
Yes.
Needed?
Yes.
Yeah. And once you get really good, we'll graduate you up to the big boy. You can start flying that thing. Okay. All right, thanks. Let's move on to McNary temperature. Tim?
Yeah, I'll start it off. But just in a nutshell, it's, you know, back in mid...
Is that what this handout is?
Yeah, that's...
Mid to end of July, we obviously had a spike of mortality at McNary. And so, by and large, since that week has passed, it's been much better. It's, I think on average, we're about 1% mortality as opposed to the, you know, we had... Yeah, so we're back to background levels of mortality. But we just haven't talked about it here, and so I just wanted to bring it just to let you know that we are back down to... to background levels, usually around 1%. So,
question: are we going to add that criteria to the FPP? Because I was going to probably suggest that we think long and hard about adding that into the FPP if we see a differential of where we set at TMT. Just immoralize that a little bit, and so we don't have to do this every year.
The everyday barging is that?
No, when we see temperature spike like it was, that becomes a trigger as well. Because right now we're just using mortality. If you have 3 days of heightened mortality, that's a trigger. We also had a temperature trigger at TMT. Would we want to add that to the FPP? That would be a recommendation I would make. Right now, it's just a one-pronged trigger. I'd rather have two.
Mm-hmm.
Because temperature is something you could probably look at or predict or something like that, see that coming. As right now, we're just being purely reactive. You know, it's like, oh, we have three days of 60,000 mortality. That's a problem. We should do something. I'd rather be a little more proactive.
I should point out here.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I think there's an opportunity to look at some new language.
It should be more than temperature. I think it should look into the differential between different places, like the Port Bay and the Deep.
You guys at TMT have a mortality trigger. Talking about maybe adding a temperature trigger to the.
Yeah, and we might even want to have some type of trigger for. Having that also trigger checking of debris in the trash racks too, which
well, we hope we don't have something
yeah.
like that.
Well, the one thing that we talked about in February in Walla Walla, and I think this needs to get some attention and some funding, is to develop a predictive model that takes into account all the various things from wind to temperature, air temperature, water temperature, the unit availability, and gaywell temperatures. Collection channel temperatures and all these things to allow us to do some predictive management and that, you know, actually operate the project based on what we think would give us the least shock in the given the production channel. And I think that that's doable given the information we have, given the model that's already out there. It's just that it's such a big model that it needs supercomputers to run and things.
Yeah.
That'll come only run. By Dr. Weber in Iowa.
Ted does a great job telling what the temperature was yesterday. Not so good what's going to
happen. Well, yeah, it isn't predictive. It's not really that way going to be set up for an operational use. But we made that recommendation in February, and I'd like to see that carried forward with maybe push it. I don't know if there's O&M money to do that. It's sort of an O&M use, but it's certainly not on the it's not above the line right now in SCT.
Yeah, it, that would definitely be, it'd be CRFM funded.
CRFM funded?
Yeah, it'd be CRFM funded that once we get it off the ground and probably would transition over to maintaining that with our O&M funds. But we wouldn't have the funds to develop that within O&M.
Yeah, I don't know how much it's going to take, and the problem is it's below the line. It probably shouldn't be. It's one of those temperature control number 89. I mean, it doesn't even have a score because we didn't know about this. When we scored this thing, the issue really hadn't come up, but it might be that that's something that people need to take a look at.
Is that something that...
Something that the district could advocate
yeah.
the SCT, take a closer look at, and maybe try to bump it up. I know we argued all morning about the budget and all the things that should be in there and all the little money that we have, but this one probably wouldn't be a lot of money. You know, I think we're talking if we could put $30,000 or something like that towards it, or $50,000, that would go a long ways towards developing something that you guys could use right at your computer.
Yeah.
You know, or Brad or somebody could sit and go, okay, you know, here's the things that are going on. What's the best way to operate the units, especially to minimize temporal shock.
No, I think it'd be good. I'll talk to Randy Chung when I get back. Next SCP, I think it would make sense for others to bring up too. But I will definitely talk to Randy about it.
So many things are going on. I forgot to bring it up today. So.
Yep. Tom, did you want to take a stab at some fish passage plan language? Yeah. All right, we can work with you on it. Yeah. All right, I think John was actually going to take the next one, McNary organ ladder trash rack and fish pump number 3, which has been returned to service now.
And you might remember a coordination request going out about this fish pump, and the reason is that in order to put the fish pump back in service, they had to remove bulkheads, and that means shutting down all 3 fish pumps. So they did that. In the afternoon when the adult passage went down, and it went back in service on the 13th of August.
It's not leaking. Your pump's not leaking. There's not oil shooting.
It appears to be working, and all 3 pumps are running. I haven't heard of any complaints yet.
Good.
Fish pump number 1, maybe.
Number 1, yeah. Number 3. Don't know about. I haven't. They say it's working fine, but they're taking the crooked eye look at it.
Yeah, good.
So,
good.
But all 3 pumps are running, and the pumps, incidentally, when the gravity feed was out, they were almost able to meet all criteria just with the 3 pumps alone, good. Which I thought was pretty good. So, that's something to put in the pocket should we ever need it. So.
Yeah,
yeah. So, it's running, and I haven't heard anything about it doing anything strange right now. Keep your fingers crossed on our fish pump stuff.
Yeah.
All right, you set with that one?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. And then we'll just move on then to the Ice Harbor unit priority.
Tim, before we leave McNary, I don't know if you guys are aware that the crane broke. You can't clean your screen.
The intake gantry. I heard it on there.
Just heard that. I saw an email on that yesterday afternoon that it came.
So is that on the trash racks?
No, the crane that came.
Oh.
Apparently, part of it came came tumbling. Yeah. And so, no, I understand no one got hurt, so that's good. But I have yet to, I don't, last I talked to people, we didn't understand the full extent of the problem, how long it's going to be till we get it back online, and when we can clean screens again.
What does that mean for TSWs? Close them, and they'll just stay there?
The bigger problem in the short run I see is if we use this to clean the screens, we only have 7 functioning units out because they're clogged. They plug. And so as time goes on, we'll have no units. Or we have to find a way to pull screens or run screens out of criteria. So I think we have an imminent problem coming. If it's shedding parts into the four bay and such, my guess is it's out for
pulling screens.
Yeah. So I think the reason I bring it up is I think we have a
time for a mobile?
A couple, something. A we crane have probably a few issue. More days to yeah. week before we have really have a problem.
So what's filling up is debris is the
this time of year you get a lot of
tumbleweed crap. Yeah.
Right. This is the time of year we really get a quick start, and so we need to get
up
down.
So this
seems to happen this time of year.
When we talked to people yesterday, people were scrambling trying to just figure out what's going on, what we need to do to fix it. So I don't have much more of an update than what you just got from Scott. It's something I'll definitely keep you up to speed on. We'll bring it back to FPOM. We have FPOM on the 10th, so it's only 2 weeks from now. Should know more then.
This is the gantry, the 4-bay gantry. Mm-hmm. Is this the only gantry we have up there, or is that
mm-hmm.
the main gantry?
Yeah. So why did it collapse?
That's crane number 5, if I remember right. So
it's the only one, but it's number 5?
No, it was number 5. And then
they were wanting to bring back unit 6. Yeah. Unit 6 was ready to come back online.
Do you have any update for the trash rack?
Its head gates are down. So.
Oh, head gates are down. That's
does every day.
Yeah. It would just plug up.
Not just the... there's different parts of the crane that you can kind of
open it up. So you're going to bring in a floating unit?
Or a very large mobile? You need that big mobile.
It seems like an issue we're going to be waiting to have attention to before our next meeting. And so Tim will try to get more attention, get an update.
Can you get an update by early next week, maybe?
Like I said, we're about to run out of units. We just we're passing mud water.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm jumping to next. So I'll send out an update when I get an update on this. If I can get an update before FPOM on the 10th, I'll send it out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what's wrong, but it may be there's parts up that different parts of that crane that could fall off and the thing is still running.
Okay. So you
just got to figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
That is a little disconcerting.
Yeah. John, were you going to add anything on the trash rack?
Yeah. Trash racks were cleaned on the... Okay. The Oregon Ladder AWS trash racks, they did a minor cleaning earlier in the month, and because the gravity feed and all that were working, they only could get the upper part of the trash racks clean. But it was able to reduce the differential and reduce the risk of failure in the meantime until we could do a real thorough cleaning. And that thorough cleaning was done on the 17th, and actually on the 18th, and they were able to clean it completely. And so obviously, that required the gravity feed conduit to be out of service during that time. It's now back in service. And while they had divers in the water doing that work, they looked at the north screen and they found that they had at least one broken basket section. And they also have a broken main, separated main carrier chain that rotates the mesh. And so that means the north screen is going to take a long outage to fix and a floating crane and all that. So, you know, you're talking a week or more. So we have no idea at this point when and how they're going to do it, but it's something that obviously has to be done later in the year in the winter maintenance season. So
the goal is that this is something that we're going to try to wait until the winter maintenance period because we have enough flow in the ladder to maintain criteria. There's also the issue of providing the irrigation water via that, but I believe that's already been restored, but it's a very small amount of water that they need, and we're able to provide that water with existing. And so irrigation water, there's just another like a week or so left on that, and we're still able to provide that, but that the AWS traveling screen is out of service with the plan of getting it
repaired.
What's the debris status on that? Do we have any idea? Is it
on the north stream?
If you're not turning it.
Oh, it's going to, yeah, up, it's, so. it's bad. It's shut down on the north screen, so no flow.
No flow is going through it. No, so everything's going through it south.
Right.
I don't know.
But it's, I mean, the thing is definitely broken and is not going to just be repaired. Right, it's going to be replaced because it's in bad shape. So that's the plan for the winter maintenance period.
The south screen, is that traveling? Is that a traveling screen as well?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go in and clean it. I didn't understand that when I read that. I said, well, why do you have to clean a traveling screen? That's the point of a traveling screen.
So clean the trash rack in front of it.
Oh, it's a trash rack in front of the truck.
There's a trash rack and a traveling screen.
I won't go there. That's for, like, big logs. So you got big logs jamming this thing up.
It was mostly milfoil and things like that. It looked small stuff just jamming up the traveling screen. There's also a trash rack in front of it.
So the traveling screen isn't working correctly.
Oh, it's working.
Because it should handle, that milfoil should just come off as you go around the back. Yeah,
but they had a raft of it come in and just plug things
just,
up.
Just plug off the plastic a little bit.
So they needed to do a real thorough. I think part of the problem is, at least the Oregon ladder one is, it's old, it's in rough shape, and now we're replacing it. So
for the north,
for the Oregon,
for the north.
This is the Oregon ladder that
south.
We're, so you'll repair the north and replace the south, the Oregon.
Right.
Okay.
Yep. And that's what's planned for the winter maintenance period. Okay. So.
That big traveling screen on the Oregon ladder.
Yes.
The one that doesn't meet criteria.
That's the one.
The one with the irrigation district withdrawal through it, too.
That's the one.
I'm familiar with that one.
Maybe we should have a little discussion about that whole thing, just to fully understand what you want about it.
Okay.
You come to replace it?
Because I'm...
Big travel.
Yeah. Well, I just want to make sure it works, too. You know, if I have trouble with traveling screens that are working but not cleaning. It sounds to me like design.
About that design is sealing. It's an old link belt design, which means that as it rolls on at the bottom, it pops open and leaves a gap. And you tend to wear it. It's hard to seal. It's hard to keep that screen
it's
sealed
like
along
that
the side.
You looked at down the paper mill down there. Okay.
Okay. See, the south screen traveling screen has a trash rack, which accumulates debris, and then the screen maybe. Cleaning debris, but the trash rack also collects debris.
Well, what do we? I mean, to me, that shouldn't be happening. The trash rack should be there to stop
logs.
Big stuff, logs.
Yeah, but some still gets through apparently.
Why?
But the trash rack were fouled and was creating a differential.
It doesn't make sense. Okay, we need to. Yeah, we need to have a, I think, separate discussion about this at some point. Just to.
Bring it
sure
to September 10th.
Maybe there needs to be a little more work done here. Maybe it needs to be updated a little.
I am worried
about it. I was worried about it when I read about it. I thought, oh boy, this sounds like a disaster waiting to happen somewhere down the road.
Point is, this, we don't have anything planned for it until the winter maintenance period.
Yeah.
In which case, we can bring it back for a more thorough discussion
on
the 10th of September.
That's fine.
All right. In the meantime, they'll continue monitoring it like they have been. And they've been keeping a closer eye. Since the north one isn't available. Okay, 3.9, Ice Harbor unit priority. Scott, I may call on you to fill in some details here, but you have a coordination form attached on page 6 of the agenda. This is one that took numerous iterations getting this prepared.
It's actually 311 and it's on page 7 of the new agenda. So you're a page off.
Okay.
The new agenda that I got from you is at 3.10.
Really?
Yeah. Jumping all over the place.
Okay, 3.10, page 7.
Yeah, so
where
3.10,
is it?
Page 7.
Page 7.
Shit.
And so, hey Scott?
Yeah. 3.10, sorry.
Do you want to just give a brief overview of that?
Sure.
Sure. The change form?
Sure. This change form was put in place to get ourselves back to the right priority that we used to have with the one running. There's a condition that we had to factor in as well. Units 3 and 4 cannot be the only unit running. And so, unlike in the past, we now have language in there that tells them what they need to do if they have to run just Unit 3 or 4 in standalone. If Unit 1 and Unit 2 are not available.
Which is why, when you look at this change form, when we're on the table, IHR 4, you'll see when we're operating just one unit, unit priority is 1, 2, 5, 6, and 3 and 4 are skipped because they can't be run individually. So,
as the only unit running. If there's two units running, great. They can run 1, 3, or 2, 3, or 3, 4, whatever you want. But there's this one rare condition when it's the only unit available. It can't be run without a switch switching to occur in the yard. And it's been doing this since Wednesday. They put the transformer back in service, and that allowed it to still at night 100% on sunlight. So hopefully all is good, and we'll never have to worry about this transformer ever again. They did buy it spare. It won't be the third time in 10 years it burns up. They did buy it spare, and they can replace one of the banks now. It's sitting on place. They don't have to wait 2 years in the queue to get a transformer.
Good. So we'd like to put this change form to bed now as far as approval on this. If anyone has any issues, we can certainly work through them, but the goal would be to leave this meeting with the change form approved. And it's really reverting back to the unit priority that we had. It's just before.
It sounds okay to me,
Great. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah.
Can I take the silence as a unanimous support for the change form?
Go back to where it's supposed to be?
Yeah. Okay. Dave?
That's fine.
Okay. Well, let's move on then to 311.
311 is fish count reporting. Over the past couple of weeks, we've had a lot of problems getting the fish counts posted to the websites because of the restrictions put on the fish counters and the computers through the Corps contractor and their security patches and software upgrades. There's only one computer that will actually take those numbers and post it to the site, and that's John Dalen. He's been very sick, hasn't been able to reboot his computer, because anytime he gets a patch from our ACID from Alabama, which happens like probably three times a week, if not more, it shuts down the program that he has to send it to the website. So we're working that out through headquarters, and it's been going on since the very start of our whole refresh we've had last year. In the meantime, we're finding a way to get around it. Dave was calling me. We're doing an unofficial posting of the numbers by actually getting it at the county stations, and apparently you talked to John today, which is great because I haven't had a chance, and he said he's going to give you access to the FTP site so you can post it.
Yeah, see, John's computer gets the information, gets the FTP information, and then sends it to the Corps.
Right.
And he's, allowed us access to the FTP site. It's just a matter of, we need to ask him about a few things, column headings. He has some, calls each site P1, P2, and we're not sure exactly what that means yet, but we'll get that figured out. The one thing we were wondering about is when do we go ahead and use the FTP site? Do we wait till 10 in the morning if the Corps site isn't updated, then we go ahead and do that? Or
yeah, I'll work with John and give you that, but let's say 10 o'clock now.
Yeah. We could change our whole program to just go take the information off the FTP site, but that would be more work. I think they'd want...
Then that wouldn't be official.
Yeah. That's,
it's supposed to go up at 9:05 p.m. So you go in the next morning, it's not up there. It's not, unless, I mean, John usually comes in pretty early. So if it's not there in the morning, it's probably not going to be there.
Let's go first thing.
Right. And he can't do this remotely. He can't take his laptop and hook into our VPN, into our system, and do it. He has to be on the network at his office computer.
There's nobody else.
Nobody else.
Can you get this? Can you put the software on the computer?
We're working on it. We're working on it. It's not as easy as it sounds.
I know.
It's not as easy as it sounds. I mean, Stancil's pulling his hair out.
I know. I mean, you guys have a timeline. Like, it's going to be a month. It's going to be next year. It's going to be.
I mean, we have the short term issue, and then the long term is the headquarters is dealing with getting the security. The long term plan is to have its own network for Fish County, so this wouldn't even be involved, or to allow John not to have this high security where he can go ahead and not get these patches in his computer and it just won't reboot it. He can reboot, he can put the patch, that's going to be the short term, is he'll put the patch on when it comes instead of having it automatically done. So
seems like multiple locations is the best.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, we're trying to get multiple. Jobs. I mean, we've asked for 6 months to get multiple people to have the same password to get into the system. But since it's on one computer, one card, and I don't know what you guys have, but we have this thing called a CAT card. That, you know, that's the only entrance into that system, and his PIN, and you can't get that out. So.
But I'm saying you can't get onto the computers. That's the problem I'm having a headache with.
Well, they're trying to get a whole new computer system put this thing, you know, up and down the river. It takes it all on one computer. One hour. It's not as easy as it is at Critvic, obviously, to make changes.
Oh, no, it's a nightmare at Critvic, too, but I thought you guys were more organized than us. I'm just seeing you're just as dysfunctional as us. Excellent.
They just haven't plugged our computers in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're still offline.
So stay tuned. We'll keep providing updates on this because it's not going to go away until ACID is taken out of the picture, really.
So I guess
I apologize. And I know there's lots of fish going over the past week.
Well, I'm just giving you guys a heads up. We got chewed on by TAC pretty hard on this. And they don't feel comfortable letting the they're going to send the next one. Because TAC's got to do their harvest, and if they don't got numbers, they can't do harvest, and that gets people rather pissy.
Well, yeah, so all of us, actually.
We'll get back to headquarters quicker.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, if I get that letter, you know where it's going.
Get it going.
I was going to say that the fish canners have been faxing the daily counts to the fish field unit. So the fish field unit has them, you know, in hand. So if you call in the morning and they can sort, you know.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is, I mean, it's just it's a much more lengthy,
laborious process.
But you have to call the people.
Now that we have the FTP site, we have it all in one.
Yeah, I know. If we get you guys, I mean, if it's not in the interim, we have to have you guys do that. And I guess I will call TAC and say, the letter may not be the worst
thing. They are available, though. People need them.
Canvas, fax sheet.
I'm no stranger to letters.
TAC to Stuart.
Whatever.
They could. The problem is that he's got everything based on his computer.
That would be
off
Tim Dykstra's chair.
Yeah. And it's like, it's kind
of
nice.
But I mean, there's not a lot of numbers.
It's like no co-chair on that. All right, let's move on. We're getting a little behind. 219.
Okay. So an update on McNary Crane.
What's up?
Why the hell
yeah? Yeah, I called the control room.
I said, "What's up with your crane?" So they were lifting a head gate out of unit 6, and it ran away. And they put the emergency brakes on, got it stopped, tried to lift it again. It ran away again. Second time they applied the emergency brakes. Brakes failed. And they burned the brakes up, and it broke the shaft between the drum, the lifting drum, and the motor. So they're trying to find new brakes, and they're trying to find the connect if they got a connection, new connection between the drum and the motor.
Well, there's something more to that. Why did it come to
the well, the brakes, the emergency brakes didn't work. And then they burn up the... They wouldn't apply. Something's in the braking system, but then it got past the brakes and then torqued the motor and broke the shaft. You know? So
anyway, more to come. Thanks for that update.
Nobody injured? Yeah.
No, huh? It was all within the gate well. It's just it just sounds like it did some major damage in trying to find parts for those old gantries. It wasn't like our spillway 15 failure.
Yeah,
the head gate go out and smash.
They got it.
Hit the bottom hard?
Not too hard.
Okay. We will update you more on that next month. Okay. So on 312, we've already talked about Lower Granite. the fish trap. And 313, I simply put on there just to let you know.
You started.
Yep. 16th of August, Sunday, first day of truck transport. And that will continue.
And the Hurst and Flush is working.
Hurst and Flush is working.
Flushing.
And I've got an add-on, just the tie crane. The boom is scheduled to be delivered the 23rd of August. And the contract is supposed to be completed by the 14th of September. But contracting is in negotiations, so...
It's not arriving Monday. I just talked to Eric.
So... We'll see.
Pie in the sky.
It's pie in the sky. I just want to keep that as an update.
Yep.
Tie crane every time because now it's getting down to critical time as far as I'm concerned. Okay, so let's move on to number
four.
That's really just provide any updated contact information to Tammy. Because people change in their roles, so in their numbers and locations, as we all know.
A couple of years. Change.
Well, changes do occur, right?
This list?
Yeah.
Take them down there, man. I've been eating this whole thing.
Eat them all. Do you have something, John?
This list, is this considered a complete list that should be on the FFOM mailing list, or is there more names that should be on the mailing list?
If there are more names that are not on that list, then I need them. Otherwise, that's the complete
list. This is
list.
Everybody, or?
That's everybody that I have that has expressed an interest in being an FFOM attendee.
Okay. So the point is, if you know of someone that should be on there that isn't, let Tammy know.
Well, there's FPOM attendees and there are FPOM recipients. Is that, that's kind of what you're asking.
Yeah.
Because the various lists I see have other names that are not on here and some that don't have some names.
These are the ones that are official. So some of the other names that you see on the emails I send out are maybe the smoke monitoring folks up in your area when you're talking about SMP stuff. They're not on this list because I have not received a word that they would like to receive continued mailings.
They don't understand.
What? If there, basically, if there's people on this list that shouldn't be on there because they've retired or they've died or they no longer work in anything like this, let me know. If there's people that should be added because they either will attend FPOM or they want the mailings,
Derek, are you on the line?
Let me know.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Just checking.
Yeah, hey, Tammy, this is Derek Fryer. Could you add me to the list?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So let's go to the 5 ladder operation McNary in Ice Harbor for Lamprey Passage. Derek?
Yeah. Just going to give you guys an update of what we're seeing as far as fish passage as a result of operating between control and treatment reduced velocities at the entrances of the South Shore ladder at McNary. The test is, this operation started on July 1st and is planned to run through October 10th. We have it broken down into 51 two-day blocks, with one day being the standard operation and one day being the reduced velocity, or basically reduced head over the weirs for one evening or one nighttime period. And I have some data here I've been trying to get put together to send out as a document for FPOM to look at, but I didn't get it sent out before the meeting today. But we looked at, we did a comparison of adult fish passage the day after the treatment or the reduced velocity operation, and we did basically a standard T-test comparison, which is what we also did at Bonneville Dam during their nighttime reduced entrance velocity tests. And we're not seeing any significant difference in passage between standard entrance velocity operation and the reduced velocity operation. And we looked at basically all species. We looked at spring summer Chinook, fall Chinook, steelhead, sockeye, lamprey, and shad. And in none of those comparisons, or in all those comparisons, there were no significant differences between daytime counts.
Pretty low samples so far?
For lamprey, it's a very low sample size. for Chinook, the control number of fish was about 400 fish, and the treatment number of fish was 500 steelhead. There were about 650 fish used in it. Sockeye, there were 1,200 and 1,100 fish, and quite a few shad. We didn't impact the shad run either, obviously. Dang it. So as of what information we have now, it looks like there's no difference between adult fish passage between standard operation and the reduced velocity operation. We also have some pressure sensor data where we've installed pressure sensors both in the fishway and in the tail race area and the stilling basins. And so we've been logging the actual difference in elevation changes during these operations. And I have graphs for that as well. It looks like we're achieving a 4/10 to a 5/10 reduction in head differential during the treatment periods.
Okay.
I need to work with our hydraulic folks to come up with some velocity calculations of what we think those velocities actually are. And we haven't gotten to that yet, but that's the next step, is to put this into a document and get some velocity calculations and send this to FPOM.
What was the reason for the reduced operation?
Improved lamprey passage.
But didn't see any change in lamprey passage?
There's only about 10 fish between treatment and control on that. So,
and really
the run size is really down this year, and it's going to be very difficult with 1 year to look to see if this is an improvement for lamprey entrance efficiencies. And we'd kind of plan this as a 2-year type of evaluation to try and get a better feel for that.
And I think the thought is that there's just our very limited knowledge base tells us that we think we're doing something good for lamprey with this.
But you at least know that you're not doing any harm.
Right, and that was the real focus in this test was, are we screwing anything up for adult salmonids? And our information based on what Derek's saying is, doesn't look like we are. I'm taking this as good news that what we're doing isn't screwing things up for adult salmonids.
Well, this is counts, right? So you're getting your just making observations, you're getting the same number of fish, essentially. And your blocks are 1-day blocks or 2-day blocks?
1 day.
Well, 1 day blocks.
1 day blocks.
1 day, one low, and the other day, normal.
Yes.
So what you don't know yet is what kind of delay, and you could still have the counts be similar and still and develop a delay problem.
And
it would be small, though.
Yeah,
it would be small. I don't think.
Do all these animals pass through in 1 day?
All the way to the ladder?
Are they being exposed to different conditions during the lamprey pass through
right.
in a day?
It gets messy. Yeah.
This is just more of just a null hypothesis to set us up for 1-day right. reuptake study later on.
I think you can draw a conclusion that it's certainly not a problem.
It's not a huge problem.
Right. So Derek, it sounds like you're still doing some final wrap-up of this write-up, working with hydraulic folks.
Yes.
You anticipate having that wrapped up sometime next week, you think?
Yes, I should have the report available the first part of next week.
Okay, great.
Just some of our Martin and Brett Morris have been out of the office this week, so I haven't been able to get in touch with them.
Great. So if you could just send that to me when you're done with it.
Sure.
And then I'll send it out to all of you for review. Any other questions for Derek about this?
This one other point, this was just for McNary. We're working on looking at the counts for Ice Harbor, and that will be in the write-up for your review as well. Okay. But the cursory look at counts at Ice Harbor doesn't look like there's anything going on there, but we'll have the actual T-test comparisons early next week for Ice Harbor adults as well.
Okay. Great. Hey, thanks a lot, Derek.
Yep, thank you.
Feel free to stay on if you want. Otherwise, we'll see you later.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Okay. Agenda item number 6, Lower Granite RSW repairs. And so before anyone gets too nervous, the RSW is working just fine as is, out doing exactly what it's supposed to, with one exception. an exception being we can't, the removable part isn't working. So from a fish standpoint right now, things are just fine. It's just in case of next spring or any future spring, there's a flood event. We want to have that ability to stow it, and right now we don't have the ability to stow it.
It's just, maybe what's the mechanism for
this? Yeah, has everyone received this?
Water?
Page 20.
Page 20 in your packet. There's a coordination form on this, but basically
the earlier version.
What happens is there's an RSW position indicator mechanism that needs to be replaced.
Oh, it's sticky, so it starts going down.
It starts going down. My understanding is it starts going down, and as it's going down, the internal mechanism is saying, "Whoa, you're going too fast. Put it back up." Well, it's not going too fast, and it should just keep laying down, but the mechanism is telling it no.
So it stops filling, pumps back up.
Exactly.
Back
up, back up. So that's
not the first time it's done this.
That's what we need to fix. And so the plan is we need to replace that position indicator mechanism, replace the cable pulley assembly, and install a cage around that indicator mechanism to keep debris away from it. So it's really I even hesitate to bring this because this is just what we have to. We got to do this, and we're looking at obviously a time when spills shut off. The earliest date that they would begin working on this would be October 15. October 15th.
Nice.
You like that? Thanks for the coordination.
It's done.
It's done. So.
Yeah,
no,
we shut off spill for 2 weeks.
So this will involve an outage when there's divers in the water of units 5 and 6. That's
this time of year.
This time of year is not going to be used anyway. So the earliest we'd have divers in the water, October 15, likely not to have divers, or actually anyone in the water until probably the 1st of November. But
you don't need to do a completely new buyout for this, I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
You're good.
You're good to go. So the goal was, though, before we can get the green light, we did want to bring this to FPOM, make sure everyone was okay with it before we get our contractors set up. So I think this is a check-in point. Unanimous support for this moving forward.
I'll give you a thumbs up.
As long as the cost doesn't match up to the cost of your TFW.
Okay. All right.
That's 1.5%.
We'll do.
How was this problem discovered?
I think it was last fall.
Last fall?
They did a snow test and they
Hot back up again.
Okay.
That was
came a bobber.
I was thinking it hadn't been lowered recently.
No. Bill, you're okay with this?
Yes, I'm good.
Okay.
Twice, four. So this is hopefully a third time's a charm.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's all I needed on that. So unanimous support for this moving forward. All right. Next item. Agenda item 7, which is Little Goose, Bill Bay, Weir, date to remove it from service. Okay, so as you know, August 31st is the day the spill stops, and that's when this would go out of service. Okay, but because we need a crew,
we're filming the weekend.
So Monday, the 31st is a Monday, and there's a couple options here. 31st is a Monday, and so we can't have a crew working on a crane at midnight. That's for safety reasons. We're going to, at a minimum, we'd have to do this work, take the spillway weir out of service on the 31st, which is Monday, and then just spill up to the level described in the FOP for the remainder of the day via a uniform spill pattern. Okay. The only concern, though, is when we get to 25K in the river, we can't operate the spillway weir anymore. It needs to come out when we're below 25K. And so, based
come
on...
Come out or be shut off?
You have to make a decision. You run out of water to run the minimum turbine and the minimum PSW adds up to that level. So any flow that the river happens to be below that, you're sucking on the pool, and you only have a foot of storage.
No, my question is, you said take out. Wow. My question is, take out or just shut off?
It's better to be able to operate that spill bay and actually have it removed. So, if yes, we could just, well, even shutting it off, you still have to have a crane crew and lift it. And so, based on flow calculations, which indicate that there's a good chance on that weekend we'll be dropping below 25K in the river. To me, what made the most sense was, and I've given a call to the project to hold that Thursday, which is August 27th, the afternoon on the 27th, which is the last opportunity we'd have for a crew to be on hand before the weekend, to actually plan to do that work on the afternoon of the 27th, and obviously continue to spill to the level described in the FOP after that, but using a uniform spill pattern. I think the risk to me is we start getting those low flows, and we blow that tail race out and screw things up pretty quickly. I think the benefit to getting it out the 27th is better passage conditions for adults, which there's a lot of adults there. The downside is we don't have a surface weir operating for a couple of days, but there's so few juveniles in the river at that time, plus they're mostly subs, which are lower anyway. So if we just do uniform spill, I don't think we're going to negatively impact juveniles. I think that it's probably the best thing to do from an adult passage perspective. So I would like to see us move on this on that 27th, that Thursday, before the weekend, before we can get below 25 and have potential issues. And I'm throwing that out there to get your feedback. So really, the question is, do we do this the 27th, afternoon of the 27th, or do we do it sometime on Monday the 31st?
How long is it going to take to take it out and get back to normal school operation?
Like 2 hours.
So you'd spill outside of that area. Do you have to spill all the way off?
Yeah. We can still do uniform spill out of the adjacent bay.
Right.
Probably not the one bay adjacent bay or that bay.
Right. Oh, okay.
But the other bays.
You can base 631 on.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. For 2 days, you're outside of the. We just come back.
The thing about
the efficiency of the.
RSW versus regular spill with her fault.
So, your survival benefits unknown. You don't really know if the benefit yet. So, you got pretty good spill with survival.
Right. I always have.
Yeah.
I don't have a big problem with it.
Well, unfortunately, because of the litigation and the court order, I can't approve this right now. I'm going to have to understand it better and talk to the lawyers and the people and before I can say. Well,
It
makes sense.
The volume of spill.
No, I understand that. It makes sense to me, but that's just the reality of it.
Yeah. Are you going to be able to get, with this, you'll actually be able to get there and keep your 30% easier than with the TSWN, so it'll be more likely to hit 30%.
Yeah.
Okay. You have more control. Right.
Yeah. You don't have a set volume.
Right.
You can feather it.
Yep.
Sell it that way, right?
Well, I'm going to need to talk to you and get more information.
Okay. Yeah, if I'm willing to tell you everything I know, it made sense, but we can either talk more about it here or talk offline.
Offline.
Okay.
Is the flow that weekend supposed to be close to 25?
I got a question about it. Tim?
Yeah, Bill.
Got a question about it. I think it's to Scott. But how did you come up with this 25K as the bottom amount of operating the 7.5 PSW, plus then you still have 19. How do you come up with that, Scott?
Yeah, that was developed down in Erdick. So we put the spill tables together.
Yeah.
And in the fish passage plan, the spill tables specifically say that, you know, based on our modeling down at Erdick, we can't run the TSW when we get below 25K in the river.
Well, because then
you're
past 100%. Yeah. Is that because of you got to go below a certain amount in unit one at that point that you don't want to? Is that what?
Well, at 25K, 7.30% of that is 7.5. So anything less than that, basically, as soon as you go below that, then your spill becomes more than 30%. And then,
And that's the problem. Yeah, the problem with that is because right now we're probably spilling. Well, a lot of times we're spilling more than 30% when we're locked in at 11.6. So to me, it's more of a potential risk on blocking adults.
I see. That's where it came from, the 30% criteria. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And Dave had a question about the flows. I'm not 100% sure we'll be lower than that, but we've flirted with it many times already. And with Dorset going down and with Hell's Canyon coming down,
I
highly doubt that you're going to bump below that number.
And the thought is on the weekend when the demand drops, then...
Oh, for Labor Day weekend, right here, it'll be 20s.
Yeah, so when flows out of Hell's Canyon drop, it looks like there's a good chance we'll be... right at or below 25K.
And we shut it off last week because we thought we were going to have that problem. We should have gone to a fixed flow and left it on. But we're right at that cusp where we need to do something. And if it's not going to impact juveniles and we have the flexibility in case the flows drop off and not to impact adults,
well, we don't know if it's going. We don't think it's going to impact juveniles. We don't know.
We don't know what the passage in that time is. It's very low. And so the flexibility seems to be worth more than it does to just run it because we can.
This is Rustin. I've got a couple of issues here.
Just a second, Russ. People are still talking here.
You'll still fill the right percentage, and it has the flexibility to go up or down. Mm-hmm. Right now, we have flexibility if it goes up, but we don't have the down part. And I think the down part is more likely than the up part.
What you lose is overflow. You lose the surface passage.
Correct.
Yeah. And we just probably haven't seen that to be a huge benefit for sub year lines.
Yeah. When we're talking about subs in the river, I'm not sure how much we're losing from a juvenile standpoint.
Right. I don't think you're losing much.
Russ, what do you got to say?
Well, number one, I thought we had data that indicated at where we have data on a top spillway weir that subs do seem to use it at a higher rate than through deep spill gates. And so there will likely be a reduction of surface passage for subs. And number two, this idea and this deal that if we spill above 30% that the adults won't find the ladder, that one intrigued me because the year we had the issue, we also had the priority units out of operation and it came back on the same time we changed, reduced the spill. And so I thought we paid for a study that was supposed to answer what caused the delays, that little goose. I thought we paid for that thing, and I was wondering where are the results of that, because from what I understand talking to folks that were out there is that likely it wasn't the spill percentage, it was the unit turbine being out, the priority unit being out of service and not being operated during that time that was causing the delay in the zone. So I have concerns that we are agreeing to reduce surface passage for juveniles for a very uncertain and questionable impact on adults. And I need to see the data on the adults. And I need to see the results of that study before I buy into something like this.
We can send you that study again. I know that it's out there, but I can send it to you again, Russ, if you'd like.
Well, I mean, did we find that 30% actually, at 31%, the adults did find the ladder?
No.
The test wasn't set up that way. It wasn't testing 30 versus 40%. It was testing up three different spill patterns.
and you're seeing if there was a delay associated with them. And at 30%, if my memory recalls, there was not a strong correlation between spill patterns and delay.
Right.
We never tested above 30%.
Oh, that's right. I remember why we didn't test above 30%.
Yeah. Well,
the problem is the
uniform and the baby bulk were about the same. The big bulk had more problems, but it wasn't.
Right.
Surprisingly not as big as we thought it would be.
But the problem is most of that study was done during the year when there's more flow. Now we're getting down to really low flow and big bulk.
Yeah.
So we're kind of getting the extremes of that study, which is the bulk, which had a small negative impact, plus on top of that the low flows.
No.
To me, this isn't, I mean, it's not about spill. We're going to still spill the same amount.
It's spillway passage that I want. It's not the amount of spill. It's the amount of fish going over the spillway I don't want to reduce.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a bean counter. I'm not part of the litigation. So my job is to try to make conditions better for fish in a reasonable fashion. And so until I see an adult problem, I'm not supporting pulling the surface weir. We built that thing to improve spillway passage. And I don't like shutting it down for bogus, speculative problems. So let's run the thing. And just like we did in 07 when we had the problem, if we start delaying adults, it'll show up pretty dang quick that we're delaying adults. Once we do that, you can convince me that we can change the operation.
Yeah, I Russ, and also I think that you're going to make that 50% spill is going to be a lot less efficient for juveniles when you uniformly spread that out over the spillway under the small gate opening. It's going to not be safe.
Bill, you're still going to make the same
spill. It's not going to be as attractive.
My recommendation is
to pay off the spillway for a juvenile.
Yeah, we can still bulk the spill.
Really? We'll still get a camp?
Actually, we can still use a bulk spill pattern.
In fact, we have one from the years we didn't. We spilled out a 2 as the bulk pattern.
So,
I might have missed it. I probably did. What's the advantage? What's the reason for doing it on Thursday rather than Monday if it only takes a couple hours?
You may not have enough water to run the operation you're requesting.
They have to go outside the 30% spill.
Yeah, below 25.
It's below 25. Your TSW is about 7.5 KCFS.
Oh, okay.
So, and last time I checked, if I can still do math right, 30% of 25 is about what's going to the TSW. So as soon as your flow goes below that, your percent spill is going out, so you're not operating the way you're supposed to.
That still is, though, 35%. That's still not going to affect adults or any significant amount.
I'm not going to argue against you, but I can guarantee you there's going to be people out there saying, hey, you're spilling outside 30%. That's not
you're
what
you're going to have. You're going to have a good flow along the south shore from Unit 1. You're still going to have Unit 1 up to 15K or something. So the adults are going to be only attracted to two regions. Either TSW, around the TSW, they'll hang out there for a while, or they'll go over to the south shore.
Right. I'm just saying, the fish passage plan does say when we drop below 25K, we take the TSW out of service.
Okay.
It says that now?
What does the fish operation plan say?
Go ahead. Tell them again.
The fish operation plan overrules the fish passage plan. I learned that the hard way last year. And the fish operation plan says when we get down to low flows, we're going to go to a level spill, so we're not trying to hit the 30% all the time, and we're going to provide enough training spill to provide good network egress conditions.
But the fish operations plan is silent on if we're going to continue to operate the spill bay weir until the 31st of August. What the fish operations plan does say is that we will spill 30% up until midnight of the 31st. It is not prescriptive in saying you will operate the TSW at all times of this. It's not.
Say flat, bald, TSW, non-TSW.
We're in compliance with the fish operations plan, whether we take the TSW out of service at midnight the 31st at 3 o'clock on the 31st or at 3 o'clock on the 27th. We're going to spill we're going to spill the amount that we said we're going to spill, regardless.
And Tim, you could still use bay one as a bulk bay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fill it all out of bay one.
That's right.
Okay, it's just be a deep bay instead of a third one. Bay.
Yep.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Well,
what Russ says is we do see the effect of surface spill up here at Ice Harbor and Lower Monumental. So there is a little bit of loss there, but at least you're going to have the traction flow in one area.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we're not wrapping this up right now. We can have offline discussion. Rick, you and I can talk.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm reading from the fish operation plan, low flow operations at Little Goose Dam. It says in 2008, through coordination with TNT during these low flow periods.
2008?
Let me read this. In 2008, through coordination with TNT during these low flow periods, Little Goose spill changed from the 30% level to a flat spill pattern of approximately 11 kcms throughout Little Goose discharges. Meet lower bottom spill levels and maintain the operation range of Little Goose Dam. A similar operation, modified as necessary to include any configuration or operational changes, like adding the surface weir, will be implemented in 2009 if needed during low flow periods in coordination with TMT. That's what I want done. I want the surface weir and I want the 11 kcfs spill as outlined in the fish operation plan.
Yeah, it'll be discussed at TMT, I'm sure.
It was brought up at yesterday's TMT, and the proposition brought forward was to remove the ASW or TSW, whatever it's called.
SSW.
In the afternoon of Monday, while the crew is on site, and go to a bulk 30% spill for the remainder of the day until midnight. And there was consensus at TMT that, yeah, that's fine. That makes sense. You got the crew there, you got to do it. Can't be out there at midnight.
That was on which day?
The 31st. The problem about going below 25K wasn't raised, or the potential of that was not raised at this meeting. That's right. So this would be a new item for TMT's ears.
Right. And I talked to Dan about this yesterday, told him I was going to bring it up here. I anticipate it will go back to TMT. I'm just briefing you that in the fish passage plan, it says we'll take it out of service when we get below 25K. I heard what you said, Russ, and I think we're in compliance with the fish operations plan regardless. I didn't hear that the spill bay weir will be in until midnight on the 31st. That's not in the FOP. And so I believe what we're discussing, however we decide to resolve this, any of these solutions we're talking about, either removing it the afternoon of the 27th or the afternoon of the 31st, both of those options are consistent with the FOP. And we'll bring it up at TMT. We can discuss it more.
I'm not sure they are, because what I heard Russ read was that it would be taken out when the flow drops below the 25 kcfs. And if that hasn't happened on Thursday, you'll be taking out before the flow gets down to 25 kcfs. So that isn't strictly in compliance.
Well, we could make it happen on the 27th. The flow would go below the 25th.
Yeah, they could definitely make it happen if they want it.
I mean, you would manipulate the flows to make it go below 25?
If you need to have that dotted I and the cross T, you could do that with your storage upstream. My fear is, right now, with us dropping Dvorak and us dropping the house canyon, we're not in control, but it's going to drop. You will not have 25K coming in. So you'll have 21 or 19 or 18. So what do you do in that situation? You're not going to be able to say, okay, now I hit it, get the crew that takes a day and a half to get here to fix the problem. You need to have some planning to get to that point.
It's going to expect to hit it on the weekend.
Sure. So you're going into the Labor Day weekend.
Coming
out low. Idaho Power is not going to be dying to put power out on that.
So we're just bringing this up that this is a thing. You need to do a little planning ahead.
In a more normal year, the flow wouldn't be an issue this year.
Don't.
All right, Jason. All
right.
Well,
that's the stuff. It's not going to be any fun.
So. Gary's not going to like it.
We're
doing one.
Actually, I'm going
to okay. I'm not.
Tomorrow, or
you guys
have to
be fine with a normal year.
What was your question?
Tomorrow morning,
we have.
There will be meeting tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay.
Tomorrow morning.
Okay.
Tomorrow morning.
So, I'll.
Hey guys, listen up.
Contact
please.
Dan.
Hey, we'll
resolve this right now.
We'll feed this to Dan and anticipate this being discussed at TMT likely tomorrow. I don't think there's any point in pushing it further here. We've had a good discussion. TMT will discuss it tomorrow. Any other questions on that before we move? All right. We'll move on then to Little Goose plan to address damage to the North Powerhouse entrance number 2. Okay. So.
Three. Two or three?
It is three. Okay. So right now, the spillway weir at Goose, which we're all now very familiar with, we've been talking about it for an hour, it's basically creating, there's no significant problem right now because the water from the spillway weir is coming over and the water is not flowing out dramatically out of the channel. If you
right.
recall, was that something, Bill?
Oh, just I'm agreeing with that. That's what must happen. We've seen it in the model.
Yeah, and I'll just remind you, NPE 3 was historically it was open, and then years ago, I don't know how many years ago, that's at least five, it was shut. Okay, so it's got a concrete gate bulkhead there, so that fish are not entering there, and they're not falling out there. It's just concreted in.
Yeah, the orange side is for the fallback.
Exactly. Okay, well, with the spillway we're operating this year, that seems, I think that was the trigger to knocking that concrete bulkhead loose. So now it's partially open and cracked. It needs to be removed, and it's in rough shape. We're not even going to try to use this thing again. It's just we're going to pull it out and put a brand new one in.
Okay.
So the problem is
before I was going to say just before you put it in, put it back in. Take a look at the RT work we did 2 years ago. We were doing all that doll over there. See if there are any adults nosing around that area because we're now doing a completely different spill operation than we ever did previously. We've never had a daytime spill back.
Yeah.
So you might want to take a look at it before you immediately go throw something back in. You might be able to leave it open.
Okay.
It might actually be a benefit, but you might want to take a look. I'd follow up to University of Idaho and see if they have any.
At least in the model, Tom, the conditions around there are always bad when we're operating down low flow. We put a lot of water out of A1.
And, yeah, certainly during when we're spilling out of the spillway weir.
Yeah.
It will be, it's a turbulent.
Well, my point is, I'm saying, it may or may not be a benefit to close it off. You may not have to. If I go leave it open.
Okay.
Is it a flow of water benefit?
It helps us stay in criteria.
Yeah. So then, that's what I was trying to do. Let the concrete back in there. Enjoy.
Okay. So the issue is now, we could, if we want to take it out now, we could, and it would impact the operation of the adult fishway. And so we don't want to, I've been pretty firm on this when we've talked about it internally, is I don't want to be screwing around with the adult fishway at this right now. This is not the time to be doing it. I think we can operate with this thing cracked, knocked loose without significant issues. And so I think that's, my perception is it's the right thing to do to operate it as is, and then fix it in the winter maintenance period.
Is it banging at all?
I don't think it's banging. It's
so
just...
If you have to, can you wedge it to make sure it's solid so it doesn't make any noise to impact it if it's trying to get it out, if it starts doing that?
If it starts banging, we'll bring it back. But right now, it's not banging. It's just water's coming out there. And so... but the issue is, now that water, as soon as we shut the spill bay weir off, there's going to be more water that falls out there. Yeah. Right now, the TSW is sort of keeping the water in, and it's not causing the problem. And so when they shut this, as we talked about, I think Scott brought this up, that last Friday, the spill bay weir, or actually Saturday, the spill bay weir was shut off, or it was taken out of service from Saturday, Sunday, and then put back in service Tuesday morning. Okay, so we had this 3-day window where the spill bay weir at Little Goose was out of service. And at that time, then we were going to be out of criteria for the adult fish ladder. Well, the way that we can remedy this, and this is my recommendation on how we deal with this until we fix it this during the winter maintenance period, is to raise NSE2 from its current position of 6.1 feet, raise it up to 2.5 feet. By raising up to 2.5 feet, we stay in criteria. Without doing that, we're out of criteria, and we're not able to maintain criteria. So that's what we found out during that small window, is we can maintain criteria by bringing NSE2 from 6.1 feet to 2.5 feet.
How far out of criteria were you when you got the hinder bankers? Because most of those are on sill anyway. You hate that, so
yeah. I don't know how far out. Do you know, John? How far out of criteria we were when NSE2 was at 6.1 feet?
When the weir was shut off?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know the exact figure, but I heard it was something like 2/10 below where it should be, the differential at that end of the fish weight. I might want to add that there was some tests done back in 97 where the NPE3 and NSE3 were open all the way, and they alternated different entrances being open and closed. And it's an old study. I don't have that copy on hand, but the conclusion then was that really didn't do the fishway any good to leave those fishways, those NPE3 and NS3 open. And that was better to leave them closed all the time. So they didn't really attract all that many fish.
So based on the damage to NPE3, are you okay with this plan of raising NSE2? To 2.5 feet?
I'm just trying to weigh in my mind what's worse, having a shallower entrance or being out of criteria by 0.2
a wall. You just have 2.5 feet of depth of water going over
there. Yeah, it's not going to be a lot.
So that one that would still be 6 feet or something.
Yeah, there's still an entrance over there that is open the full 6 feet. But that's what we have to weigh.
Got a pair of dice all over.
Yeah. And how are we out of criteria?
The differential, we don't mean sufficient channel tailwater differential on the North Shore.
And what does that mean for adults?
Less flow.
Okay. It means that we have 8/10 of a foot instead of a foot.
So less
traction flow. On
less
hand.
Flow.
It doesn't mean a whole lot, because at that time of year with the low flows, that there's not going to be many adults attracted to that area anyway.
If I recall, a study that was done before we started spilling years ago, under those conditions, the North Shore is not a very popular entrance with adults. It mostly goes to the NPE and SSE. So they tend to follow the South Shore when we're not spilling.
Yeah.
So if I remember right, it was something like 5% used in North Shore.
It's one of these two choices.
Okay. So it's one of the two choices.
So to me, because we had another entrance over there that's open full 6.1 feet, We still have then we'll have another entrance on north end that's only open 2.5 feet, and we maintain criteria seem like a better option than keeping it them both open 6.1 feet and being on the criteria. It's what seemed like, but it is. I agree. It's a roll of the dice. To me, it was, I was slightly tipped one way. So that's what I'm presenting. If you guys feel strongly another way, I'm not married to this.
I don't think you're necessarily wrong. I talk to my wife that way a lot too. I still have a strong data one way or the other, so it's like, I can't, I don't have a problem with it. Yeah. I think you're, that's as good an idea as I have.
Okay. Can we all agree that at least this option isn't the worst way to go?
We can make it worse, I'm sure.
Are we okay with this, considering the what we're dealing with?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That was a yes, Bill, I think I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, number 9 is spill response plans for the fishways. They're on pages 5 and 23 and 24. We've put these out for several, two different months for your review, and we have, who's on the phone that's from Bonneville?
We have Carlton Morris on the phone to talk about the Bonneville spill response plan. And John. Did you bring copies?
Yeah, I've got a few copies if anybody
wants to. So page 23 of 25 is Bonneville.
Carlton, are you there?
Can I make a suggestion that we limit this to a discussion of concerns?
Sure.
Looking at the time.
Yeah, I know. It's 3 o'clock.
We got a lot of stuff to talk about. And I'm going to get up and leave at 4 o'clock. So maybe others will too.
So what are your concerns on the spill response plan?
Now, looking at Bonneville, the first thing I would say is, it says your project manager, environmental compliance coordinator, and project biologist should be notified. Shouldn't that be Will?
Will
Jana.
Will be notified.
Yeah. I think, you know, you want to make sure the bio
is well. Should be home or will be home.
Okay.
The environmental compliance coordinator.
Thank you.
And then this thing really
on that too.
Yeah, that was kind of the control room. I mean, we just assumed that they would be the first to know.
And then the action replicates several times here from each of the ladder exits, which is where oil will probably show up first at a ladder. Or maybe in the U.S. You say you close the exit until you get a 1 to 2 foot submergence. So what you're really going to have is adults will be able to get out.
Adults will be able to get out.
Because you're stopping floating stuff.
We're stopping anything on the surface. That's in the event that it does get through the log boom.
First level.
Yeah.
Levels of...
Yeah. In early 2010, we should have a barrier, an oil barrier. Here's the specs on that barrier around the fishways. And these are designed to keep significant quantities of oil out. So the chances for oil. It's a boom material. Carlton, I don't believe these are absorbent, are they?
No, they're not. They're exclusion boom.
Okay.
But it would keep any spill material out of the fishways that's floating on the surface. So the event, the likelihood of something getting in the fishway will be much reduced once these are installed.
Okay. I didn't see, well, I guess there's three dish now. And then for juvenile, it looks to me like pretty much no action taken unless there's something really drastic going on. I'm not sure what that would be, but the third item there in juvenile talks about Powerhouse 1. There's no... It's this way. There's too much bio stuff. If recoverable quantity, and I'm not sure what that is. Is that a... What does that mean? Do you actually see it on the surface?
That Carlton can probably address that in more technical detail than I can, but it is... material sufficient to be absorbed into some kind of absorbent material. Sometimes we see things in the forebay that's non-recoverable.
Right, just a sheen.
Just a sheen, yes.
So, but that's the only one where we would actually close down a fish passage facility. The others should actually let it pass through, it sounds like. So, I don't know.
And so you...
slightly concerned about that, I guess.
But we can, you know, in the event that we do have sufficient quantities in the four bay, we could.
You want to stop
you're
it,
okay yeah. with closing the corner collector? And
no, I would rather see it pass. I just
see it pass.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just get rid of it. I don't think it's not going to hurt Juvenile Passage.
No,
unless you guys have a specific requirement that you have to stop the stuff. That's different.
Carlton?
Well, I mean, and look at a scenario like that. What, you know, this is the example. Simply, if we had a significant release of some sort of oil or fuel oil from up above Bonneville, the state of Washington or the state of Oregon would request from us some help in possibly trying to contain it, depending on how much it was, which could lead to some conflict as far as. Obviously, I heard the comment, yeah, we want to pass it. Well, obviously, there's going to be some other dissenting opinions about that as far as what to do with it.
Well, there's fish. You know, these are fish passage structures. We don't want to shut them down unnecessarily. So if it was a small amount of material, I would say pass it. If it was something in danger of ruining the river downstream, obviously we would try to stop it. So, I mean, it kind of comes down to the compliance or whatever, the compliance coordinator, I guess.
Well, I mean, it comes down to what's observed and what's known about what's happening. And I mean, if it's a significant quantity that's going to, if it's passed, it's going to foul up the shores and banks down below us, then I'm sure.
Yeah.
There would be an issue of trying to keep it up above. I know. I realize.
I agree.
We're run of the river, and we only have such a capacity to hold things back. But I think, depending on the quantity, of course, this would be a significant event.
They
want some assistance from us in trying to minimize the contamination downstream.
That's all I'm saying is if it's something that's really significant, I think we should close as much as you can and stop it. But if it's a small amount, say a pickup truck goes in the water and some gas comes down the river, let it go back. Let it go through.
We got
a barge on the
river.
We could put on that barge. And it's got a leak in it. Then we're going to want to stop
it. The Dallas spill
or something. Yeah, silly. Yeah.
So who makes the call?
Well, it sounds to me like it's the. The ECC, the Environmental Compliance Coordinator for the project.
Well, it would be a combination of federal, state, and Bonneville getting together and trying to make a determination on what should be done.
Okay, well, I guess we'd hope that if there was time, that at least NOAA Fisheries, that's state, the various folks to be in.
Yeah, definitely. I think that that's part of the process. I think that you would be included in this discussion.
And you might want to give us a call, because especially if there's tribal fisheries going on, we're going to get out and contact with
so there's all those, coordination. But, I mean, at some point, you may have to make an emergency call, and I guess our expectation is that if you had to shut off fishways, that it was really a significant amount of material that was coming through.
As far as the fish, when you say fishways, are you referring to fish ladders specifically?
Ladders, the corner collector, the ice and trash loose weight, first powerhouse.
Understood.
Mainly. Those are we wouldn't want them shut off, just for a small amount.
No.
Certainly for something that was significant, yes.
Great, I agree.
Okay. That's probably
I think we're all on the
replicate
same page.
That those comments all the way up the river, really. I haven't looked at the other plans, but Bonneville, I spent a lot of time on.
Okay.
Are you still next?
All right. Well, so then let's move on and to number 10.
Thank you, Carlton.
Thank you.
So updated outage schedules. It's on page 6, I believe. Let's just review it and bring it to the next one so we can get moving here. if that's okay with everybody.
I just have Bonnevilles, yeah.
There's Bonnevilles here, so please review the Bonneville one, and if you see anything that you need to address, send the comments to Tammy and I.
You could probably get the other outage schedule from Wayman and Russ Johnson,
yeah,
if you want to look at unit stuff.
I will. I'll get those and put them in the minutes.
Yeah.
I just didn't have them for the agenda.
So number 11 is Bonneville fish counts. Over the weekend, we had a large number of fish exceeding 30,000 in one day. Usually when we, what's the trigger?
30,000
for spillings. 30,000
split
flows, but due to the lack of water, we couldn't do that. That's more of an update, really.
Yeah.
That's fine.
They were pretty well split, too.
Yeah, pretty interesting how split they were.
Split the flows how?
You put more flow in Powerhouse 1 to get the adults more spread out on the ladder so you don't have so many one ladder because I was concerned you're going to delay them.
Bradford Island.
So in the future, should we change our criteria to apply that only when the flows are X? Because right now what we're doing is checking the box. We're supposed to call an F-bomb meeting and discuss the flow. At these levels, you're not going to do
that. Yeah, why don't we work on that in the fish passage plan over the winter? Can you capture that, Tammy?
I got one.
We're going to change the language on that for flows less than...
Who's working on that?
We're going to do it in fish passage plan.
Yes. Who's going to direct it?
I will. Bonneville Stilling Basin Survey, John.
So on the 3rd of September, we'd like to do a survey of the Stilling Basin, which we require a boat in the Stilling Basin, and a one-hour closure of days 1 and 18, alternating, not at the same time. Actually, I do have projected times, and Cascade Island side would be 10:45 to 11:45, and the Bradford Island side would be 12:30 to 1:30.
P.M.
This is just closing the attraction bay.
Attraction flow.
We know.
Have you seen what September's happening? Have you seen all the fish in there?
This is our highest passage time of the year. These are the adult attraction AWS systems that you're talking about, and basically. So you're talking about shutting down attraction water at exactly the highest passage time of the year.
For adults.
It's lovely.
Yeah. Who can't have this?
Yes. Not me.
It was me.
So,
wow.
I would say,
If we don't do this, what are we losing?
Well, I'm saying, can you do this later in the month?
It says if this action's not approved, there'll be no survey of those bays and adjacent shores. So
these guys aren't the all after the 3rd of September.
Can they at least do it later in the day?
This is, who's doing this?
The hydraulics team.
Randy leads the lead on.
Randy's the lead. Yeah, it's his project.
Yeah. We could inquire if we can do it later in the day. The problem is I know the timing is.
What you're talking about is, John, you said what time, 10:30 or something like that?
Yeah, for the Cascade Island side, it'd be 10:45 to 11:45.
Not in the evening.
No.
It would be just fine.
No.
Yeah.
In Bradford on 12:30 to 1:30. That's what they'd like to do as far as their scheduling.
That is, when they do the next item, the maintenance on those, or the survey, are they going to be able to have those bays open?
No.
So, can we piggyback that onto this?
Well, we were going to discuss that.
Right. So, if we
it's just
if they don't overlap right now, we may not make
them overlap. Right? Well, they were going to overlap because the third. Yeah. We were asking for the second and the third instead of the 31st and first. We can coordinate a 2-day outage. I mean, our request for 2 days instead of the. We can't have a boat in front of the open spill bay.
So things, if you do 13, you have to have a day off anyway, so then you can come and do your height survey. Right. That I can understand. I just guess you're picking great times.
And we could get the work done that day. Like I say, we would concentrate and make sure we got phase 1 and 18 done for those hours that they're closed.
So what's the reason for needing to do it in the morning? Why can't it be done at some other time?
Just the amount of time it takes to do the survey.
It only takes an hour, though, wouldn't it?
That's just for in front of those bays. Then you have to do the rest of the stilling basin. This is in front of the whole spillway, both bays 1 and 18, and then there's going to be doing some stuff downstream.
It's in front. It's in the far bay?
No, this is the tail race.
The
salt tail race.
The stilling basin is tail race.
Yeah.
He said in front. I'll catch up.
In front of the base.
In front of the base.
So adding 12 and 13, the request is to have...
Other side.
What is 13 here?
13 is last year we deferred some maintenance on the spillway, greasing these dogging ears. We do that routinely every year to maintain integrity of those gates to be able to latch. And we deferred it last year because we had the construction work going on at the dowels. We raised the pool, and we deferred that work, and we said, well, if we defer it this year, we want some time next year, right after spill, to have a couple days to do that. We set aside 4 days to do that. And so that was on the schedule, and then I brought it to Greg Bowers, and then talking with Dan File and Doug here about, well, that's on the schedule, and then there was a pushback from the tribes because they're asking for a specific treaty elevation for Bonneville Pool as a hard constraint during that same week. And so we're here to discuss the deferred work.
That doesn't tie into the having 1 and 18 off, though.
Well, what you can do is if you do 13, you can't have a boat in a 4-bay and have spill going on. Mm-hmm. So you have to shut off 118 when they're doing the work over there. So they can do their survey work when they're shutting those bays off for the work in the 4-bay. So if you do 13, you can... kind of shoehorn 12 and lift it a little bit.
I don't think they have to shut 1 and 18 when they have a boat
up
there.
They
just lock them in place.
They can do that?
6 inches,
so
lock in place.
So they divorce 12 from and ignore 12?
Okay. That's what we've done in the past. It's a very routine operation.
That's fine. I mean, history sets precedence. I mean, they're cracked 6 inches open. I mean, if it falls in the water, they're not going to be a vortex to suck them down.
No, that's... So I don't... Is there a reason why the boats can't be in the 4-bay with those going?
No, we let divers in the 4-bay with those open.
So that's different.
Don't confuse where we put the boat. The divers were in the water, 600 feet above the
project. We work in the 4-bay with those bays open, so they don't necessarily need to be closed for the work that you're going to be doing.
Don't make this car around.
So can we wrap up 12 by saying we'll check the hours, and if we can postpone them, you guys will be more
happier
in favor,
but not
happier, but not happy.
Exactly.
And
postpone them.
So right now, we'll do the operation as late as possible, later than the 10:45.
Yeah, anytime.
Hey, Bert.
They won't do the survey at night.
No. Why does this need to be done during Smithton Adult Passage? Why can't we do it when we have much lower adult passage?
In October.
Why can't we do it in October when it's later? Apparently, it's because the survey team is there, and that's the only day that they can do it. I can't answer that question because the guy that set it up isn't here.
There was no coordination of... I mean, this is the sort of thing... This bothers me. I mean, we probably should say no. You know, you're going to have a bad survey because you didn't take the time to coordinate this thing ahead of time and determine the best date. And the best date is not, and never will be, the first week of September. I mean, we all know that. At Bonneville Dam, that's one of our highest passage weeks of the year. So it's probably not a major impact, but it really bothers me that it's sort of a, well, we got to do it now because it's been set up and all ahead of time, and now we're in there, and boy, if you don't let us do it, then we won't be able to get part of it done. I don't like being put in that position.
Well, considering, like, most people know that, again, September is that's your highest peak adult time, so you don't want to mess with your adult.
I mean, did anybody get a hold of Ben, John, or Tammy about this ahead of time? You guys already told them,
you
know.
You guys know
it's the best time to be out there mucking around.
Just put a note to put, let's contact Randy and see if it can be moved.
So I'm asking Perletti if it can be done in October. He's the POC for the project.
Okay, so we're not going to come to any kind of resolution until we talk to Perletti and find out the details, and we'll get back through an email on this and find out exactly why.
It shouldn't have been planned for that ahead of time, or at least we should have had some coordination. And I don't really think it's a big impact, but it's just one of those things that it'd be better off not to be doing at that time of the year.
That's the kind of flexibility to have.
I realize moving into the night just doesn't cut it. You're not going to have guys out there in the boats doing this kind of work at night. So it really has to be a daytime sort of thing. But we're talking about that flow allows fish to orient on the entrances. You know, it draws them into it. So it's most important probably early in the day. Later in the day, it probably is less important.
USGS is a unmanned boat.
Really, you don't know. There could be a slug of fish that get turned off going in.
Yeah.
Anytime during that period.
That's true.
So we're running out of time. So the resolution is we're going to get more information, see if we can move it, and reconvene if we cannot.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah.
Contact, can't remember who it was, but it was like one guy from P&L. USGS has an unmanned
either one.
Survey boat that you might be interested in.
No,
we're
under contract with a survey company.
All right, we got to move on. Number 13, the Crick Fix SOR and Bonneville maintenance, which Dennis was just talking about. We want to operate the pool within 1 foot for a hard constraint.
That was one of the questions. Do you have to be at 72?
Mm-hmm. Well, because the dogging pockets, you can't access them if they're underwater.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's why we asked for the low pool. And then first we asked for 4 days, and then I talked to Doug today, and I said we compromised, and we said we can get them all done within 2 days.
I know.
So, Tom, what's the fishing concern?
Well, normally you're at 74, and all your platform fishermen guys, are their platforms are set up for that. You're asking these guys to now dip down an extra 2 or 3 feet, which is ideal for them. Normally it wouldn't have been a problem because we'd have all September to do this in. Well, after September 8th, it would be 76.
Isn't that better?
Well, it would be for them, but until you submerge a couple and rip off a couple of platforms, they're not going to be too happy. But so our guys are going, I don't know, we talked yesterday. I have not heard resolution. There's a fishing meeting going on, which I was supposed to be at, but I'm here instead. I've not heard if there was resolution, but I think they can live with 72 and just run out with a plus or minus a foot. I will have to get back to you when I want to back to the office.
Tom, have you talked about, as far as during that second week of fisheries, have you talked about any variability or, let's say, for example, if we kept it the pool elevation? Talked a little bit about just any options that might be on the table for that second week, because I feel like we could achieve the goal the first and the third, but it's just that the first week and the third week, but that second week with coming up on September 8th, which is the deviation request target that we need to hit.
Well, that was my question,
in a rock and a hard spot that second week, and so I guess what we really wanted to articulate to you.
First to the fourth is your ideal time. At any time outside, it's going to be really difficult for you guys. I get that.
But I guess in there is just trying to really figure out what would be.
Well, I guess that's the question. If you do start, if I can get the buy off on this, you guys can hold 72 flat through the fourth.
Well, and we talked about this with Scott, and I guess that seemed. Would you comment on that, please?
That's doable, Tom. We can hold in whatever foot we're in. Like in the past, if we are in the foot that you got one, we can hold in that particular foot.
Yeah. I just need to get buy off that the pool's going to be about 2 feet lower than normal. Are people going to have heartburn like that? Think so, but I got it. People's emotions are already running a little high right now, so people are super testy already this year. So, one more little thing like, oh, by the way, we're going to impact you yet again. I'm probably going to get hit upside the head a few times.
You could say we're benefiting when we're having time.
Yeah, good luck on that one.
But also throw in the benefit. I mean, to ensure that the Bonneville spillway is your major fishway passing structure. So, if you have issues associated with the gates, then we're off pattern. Then, you know, I mean, so you're impacting. So, I mean, a couple days that we've deferred from last year And we put it in a very small window before we started spill.
Can you give the ammunition to take back?
Yeah, do you think my fishermen are going to care about that when they hear that?
Oh, by the way,
I have to educate them.
How would it be better to split the juvenile fish into two parts and have reset? Because I mean, that's the other option we could go after.
Because these guys, they said, right, they're not going to. Okay, for today I'm supposed to be here.
But you could set it up where you say this is what your elevation is going to be for these two periods, and if they want to fish in between that.
Yeah, before they start, because I mean, they're going to fish from the first to the fourth, and they'll start again on the next one after that.
There's the eighth through the 12th.
And basically, as long as you're flat during that time, the net guys are fine. The dip netters won't be so happy. So I just need to, I mean, they're just touchy because there's concern that they're going to be bunch of platforms below Cascade Locks that may get washed out. So people are a little heightened this year.
On the up part.
On the up part, and if they design things for the low part, then the up part's a leak.
Yeah. It's only a week, and so you can trade off that week of.
Well, yeah.
Treat the fisheries only for 4 days.
Yeah, they're 4 day fisheries. So we got two 4 day fisheries set up, and then.
This is set up right on top of
both of them.
They're.
And you wonder why I'm getting beat on the head when I go back to the office a lot.
Are the platforms the same as the net fishery, or is the platform all
this is the third WordPress.
No, the platform guys basically fish
this last year.
This
is the first one for the platform.
And Tom, what percentage of the fishermen are the platforms versus the gill netters? Because I guess in this situation, I mean, it seems like if we could hold it low and steady, make the gill netters happy, and that satisfied 97% of the fishermen, that'd be a good thing.
Unfortunately, some of your platform guys are also some of the most vocals. So
okay.
We're just going to have to go back and coordinate and find out how many knots we're going to get upside the head.
So are you going to be able to bring this to TMT tomorrow in their conference call if you talk?
Well, if I can get out of this meeting, go back and coordinate it with my office, hopefully.
Okay.
I've only been here
all
day.
I mean, it sounds like that's the next
step. I just need to get to find out. Bob was supposed to take it to the commission and find out if people are going to have heartburn about it.
So Bob's shopping it right now.
Well, it sounds like they're going to have heartburn with it. I don't think it's a lack of heartburn. It's a lack of acceptance, you know, of saying, well, you're going to, you know, for this couple days, you're going to get a benefit for reliability for your downstream migrants for next year.
And Tom's saying that they're not looking that far ahead.
No,
because they're looking at this whole. They're still pissed about the spring Chinook fisheries this year. They're pissed about that. They're not happy that one of their fall fisheries, which is their big one, is going to be impacted in 1 week. Then you tell them about, oh, by the way, the one next week, the one before that, is also going to be lower, so that's going to be kind of impacted. So they're just a little touchy right now. And, you know, not necessarily.
The shin do you want to get?
Yeah, I mean, they only like so many knots in the shin, and then they start passing around to the rest of us. So. I will just coordinate and find out what best I can get back to you.
Okay. So as far as the Bonneville maintenance, is that something we're going to do?
Well, it needs to get done.
It needs to get done.
Well, our plan is to move forward with it.
Okay.
I mean, for reliability, I mean,
yeah, we don't want
me and Jerry, right. I mean, the maintenance manager said that.
Okay, so that's done, and then let's get back to TMT tomorrow, find out what Tom has to say, and just keep working. We're not going to come to resolution right now.
Are
so.
You?
I mean, this is an SOR to the RCC.
I'm just trying to figure out, who do you plan on getting back, Tom? Who do you plan on getting back to? I'm just asking because we need to develop a teletype, and so.
Bob Hyatt, that's why he's back at the office of the commission, and he's supposed to be talking this out.
But will you send an email to Byrne or to myself? Or?
Oh, I'm going to call
talk.
You I'm going to call you in your BlackBerry about 7:30 tonight.
Okay.
I'm trying to put your kids down.
My kids don't go to bed.
Every hour on the hour.
All right.
Clear.
Can you spend on that one?
Fair enough.
Clogger, you're up.
Okay. To make this succinct and fairly short, on July 20th, we had a special meeting to discuss path forward with additional research and operations of the Dalles Wintertime Sluiceway. And Danny sent those out. I think I distributed them earlier. We want to make sure they get reviewed so they can be accepted as minutes. The idea of what came out of there is after discussing basically the historic research and how we got to where we are now, we said most everybody there agreed that we should have an additional year of evaluation using hydroacoustics before deciding the long-term operational scenario. And The basic metric was agreed that it would be the basically the number of adult steelhead-sized fish passing downstream through the sluice, where that way we could estimate potential escapement effects based on historic other research and data and revise escapement estimates. We decided not to do a block design, but more of a single kind of condition test that we didn't have to do, because that was partially because of the number of blocks you would have to do could potentially be very difficult to get when there was some fish there. You'd have to use much of the winter. So that we agreed on that. And we almost agreed on everything else, but we didn't quite get there. For the idea was that we found out that based on this past year's data, that we could, during the winter, likely reduce the number of gates that were open. And that was decided at least for the December 1st through the 15th and the March 1st to the start of spill, we would do that. The difference in opinions got where we were dealing with the November operations, where it was, NIMS wanted to make sure we stayed with what was in the fish passage plan, and we kept it as it's being operated with all those gates open. And BPA suggested we could have it as the test period in the winter. And so that was basically everything was agreed on except for that part. And there was a suggestion that because of that disagreement that it could need to be elevated. And I guess what we're going to do here is what's our suggestion on how it should be run, so that if this guy, and I don't know what elevated means specifically, but we can give our opinion of what we think should be done, and then it can move on from there.
Just like
that makes sense.
Spring.
Any other discussion?
Just like the spring with the corner cruncher when we elevated it, except there was no place to elevate it. There still is.
So I guess one is
still your opinion that it needs to be split.
Why are you picking on me?
You were the one that had a different view of the meeting.
I think it's open for discussion.
We could discuss a couple things. One is how do people here think it should be out there?
Everybody was there.
Their disagreements and what happens next? Where does it go? How does that get decided?
You've heard my opinion.
I mean, we've gone ahead as if we're going to do a test, because we had to do a set of operational considerations with the dives and with getting PNM all set up to do the test. So we'd like to know what's going to happen too.
Yeah.
So that for research purposes.
The only change I've done is from that time of November through March.
Month of November.
November.
Well, the entire season is the same test.
The difference would be a difference in having a few gates additionally closed. It would be closing 1-1,
15.
Yeah, 15 and 18-3.
Well, we have a stronger test if we just totally repeat what we did the previous year.
That's the other option. We could just repeat the same
just
exact
the
test. I mean, the point was to see, to try to get an idea of how consistent, how real the numbers we saw this year were, and that was our part of the major focus for why we wanted to have another year. And then we're looking at other options that we could use that would be acceptable to also reduce the amount of water we use.
So we looked at the current data that showed that this,
where are they most standard,
and this alternate proposal is almost exactly the same. And so the balancing act is between passing fish and the ratepayers, what they need to pay for this kind of operation.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't free, it's $1 million a month, and so a way to shave it off and get the same benefit is something we would be interested in buying.
So, I mean, basically, you'd be saving KCFS through the month of November.
Wow, that's one more unit order? Sweet.
So, I mean, considering if we're looking at this from a research point of view, it probably wouldn't hurt to do exactly what we did before, but. If you're looking at it, it's pretty close to the same idea. We could still make a similar evaluation. In fact, the one addition we were going to do also was to make sure that we kept the hydroacoustics running during the non-spill period and the non-sluice way offs period in the winter, so we could see if there was anything going on during that period as far as sudden changes in passage downstream turbines.
Yeah, you're talking turbine only, though. Keeping the turbine
so it would give us an idea. Some of the concerns were that in late February, are we suddenly having a lot of activity based on what we saw this year that could have happened, been happening So we'll be able to know if there's a bunch of them going through the turbines suddenly in the end of February or any time, just to get an idea of what's going on in turbines only, period. So.
Well, the cleanest study would be to repeat last year.
Repeat?
Because if we get, we go through another year of study, as we said, we cut off a bunch of the sluice gates and we see a difference, then the question now becomes, was it different? Was it the sluice gates?
Or just a
different year? Or just a different year? And we want to change two things.
Well, there's, at least if there's a change in the proportions of turbine,
95%.
That would give us some information that there was an effect based on changing it to this operation, which would be informative, obviously.
But still not such a good chance.
It wouldn't be specifically the same, but that change, I mean, the somewhat assumption is that there isn't a huge difference in the overall amount of fallback with the sluice open or not. And that seemed to be based on the behavioral evidence and the relative estimate level from the RT estimates we had of numbers versus what we saw this year. The similarity in historic versus this year's numbers and the idea of the behavioral ability for them to avoid going down the sluice way if they didn't want to based on the disenchantment. So, I mean, you could potentially... Well, they were looking at the behavior of the Ditson and how easily they would come across in front of these gates. They could hang, linger on it, even come in a little ways and get out. They didn't have any problem, you know, being in track.
They weren't in track.
Right.
No, they weren't in track. So there was 95% passage of the sluice way. That's an accident.
I don't either.
So I don't expect that to change. What we don't know is the sheer number of fish that are out there.
And you brought up another point of the idea of the juvenile issues as part of the November
question. Well, I've written up a memo on it.
To whom? To?
Got it out to review or by anybody yet, but I do go through the juvenile issues too. I mean, that's my concern for November is that it is part of the juvenile fish passage season at the Dallas Dam, and that is our juvenile fish passage route at the Dallas Dam, the Hoover Bypass. Mm-hmm. It's the same fish passage season that we have in other projects where we run GPS systems through November. So, and we have identified the gate openings that we feel are best for juvenile passage, and that's what we have running out there. Mm-hmm. So, to me, this is almost like shutting off gate wells or orifices or something in a GPS system that would be less efficient, or maybe pulling screens on a really different bay or something like that would be less efficient than the networks, because we don't think they've got anything there. It is part of the fifth passage season. That has been established over the years. Also, Ben reported that. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Scared me. That they had schools of juveniles passing through, juvenile salmonids, in November or December. I don't know exactly what the number would be on that. Their report is that they have mass schools of juveniles passing through the sluiceway, so that does establish presence. It doesn't tell you how many are there, but they certainly aren't there using it. So my argument is really based on juvenile passage, that it is the bypass system at the Dalles and should be operated in criteria through the fish passage season. And that's pure and simple. That's my argument.
If we kept it that way this year, and then for those periods where we have a reduced gate thing, if we saw no effects on that, would you consider the next year or in future years potentially going down?
Well, I mean, again, what's the juvenile passage effect on juvenile passage?
And we may be able to get that this year if we kept it open. If we kept it open this year, so we could evaluate what's happening in December and March. When we do have a reduced gate open, we can see if there's basically if there are not any changes in behavior distribution, then we could at least consider November. And that way we could get a test, as you prescribed, with the potential of an option going back. to the test case if we get data that suggests it's not a problem. And then let it compromise. That's possible.
I go with that. Yeah, I mean, what you'd have to do is look at individual gate passage of juveniles, and if you saw that there were gates not being used, or that, you know, especially if you
then we can look at that transition time, too, as well, to see if there's any sudden changes in what's going on with the fish from November.
From November 1 on.
Is this study...
The end of November to the first week of December.
Is this study going to be collecting information on juveniles as well as adults?
Yeah, they'll have
we can get it off
DITS in place to look at.
Well, we were going to not necessarily repeat the DITS, but we could.
It could.
The idea was that we had pretty good evidence of their behavior, how they behave, which is what the DITS really does. But they won't get them on the hydroacoustics, so a real enumeration.
This was set up to be an adult study.
Just because of the way the
scale has gone to a juvenile study, and so the only way to get the juvenile data again.
Rerun the data with a different calibration, which is not cheap.
You can't put a juvenile sample and juvenile shad on hydroacoustics.
It takes DITS, they were able to make that determination with DITS and the amount.
Again, they were just seeing them out there.
Especially that time of year when the juvenile shad are large.
So it would be difficult to say that.
That would be fine. If there was a way that we could determine that there was.
So at least that way we could keep your study suggestions this year
that would
the potential of changing it based on information.
I feel better with that. All I'm saying is we don't have an evaluation for the effect on juveniles. And that would be the same
evaluation. Is a crude one?
It's crude, but you know, that time of the year I expect it appears to be more like schools of
well, sub-girling. We're going to have a major hydroacoustic evaluation going on really soon for juveniles at the Dalles, right?
Uh-huh. Were you here this morning?
Maybe not.
That took a lot of our time. That's why we're very tired
right
now.
Yeah.
So I understand. It sounds like we got a path forward.
Well, I'm not agreeing to that.
Okay. What are you agreeing to?
I mean, originally we were going to look at shutting it on and off as a study design. Now we switched to juvenile. This isn't a juvenile study. We don't know what credit we're going to get from this operation. And so without that information, I can't agree to this.
Is it the juvenile part that's the problem, or just...
You're not willing to refine it for a criteria that we don't have established for the juveniles? Mm-hmm. You're saying in November the criteria is X for juvenile salmon passage. All gates will be.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what the fish passage plan says.
The fish passage plan was never set up to be for juveniles. It was always an adult issue that we've been discussing. That's why we're testing it for
you
adults.
You maybe, but not me. I've been arguing for juveniles for 10, 15 years on that.
That's not what the criteria is set up in the fish passage plan, so that's why I'm breaking this up.
Okay, we can have the discussion again, but it is a juvenile bypass system, and you guys want to fight this, fine, we'll do it.
One case in November, so I get my stuff.
Now, I mean, what we're doing is we're giving up a part of the juvenile passage season at the Dalles and a passage around the Dalles without any data to say that that's...
We would like to collect the data to show the difference. And that's why we're
proposing to do this study. For juveniles, that's what has been proposed.
This year, the reduced gates is collecting the information that we need for juveniles. He's proposing to repeat the study from last year.
Not exactly. No, not at all.
No, we were going to do his criteria, as he said, which meant only in November do we have them all open. On December 1 through December 15th, and all March to spill, we'd be doing it with a reduced number of gates. The idea being that we could then use that information in December and March to see if there's no problem with using that as an option in November. Mm-hmm. So we could
get sufficient fish in the period to say that March they equally spread out in the late December period that we
so
this is not
like
to do with juveniles, so I don't think for this part. I don't think we're going to be able to do significant information with this study of hydroacoustics.
But that's what...
Not hydroacoustics, no.
No, that's going to have to be a
separate... That's what Gary's criteria is that he's most concerned about is for juveniles. And so that's where...
The idea was to look at passage through these gates with the DITS, right? Is that what you're proposing? What would y'all see if we get some of this?
The only data we're going to get significant that has real meaning is hydroacoustics of adults. We use the distance for behavior, but you can't really. When you only got data in one, basically in one or two places, they have distance. So you can't, I don't think you can generalize for the rest of the policy. The gates, we didn't. They were basically using
that. They were looking at one gate?
One set of gates, yeah. One, I think it was two spots. All down at one gate.
Well, I guess, you know, I mean, I think that that's something
we
have to.
We have limited information about juveniles even from the gates.
Well, you can't wipe with those groups of juveniles.
Well, they suggested from the size and the timing of some of them, especially later, they were likely overwhelming.
That's what I was saying too. The bulk of those are the and we can have that discussion. And if it's only two gates that we're seeing, but that's a lot of numbers of juveniles, like schools and buildings, that could be times several gates.
Well, again, this is a very adult-focused study, and I want to make sure we at least get the information clear on the adults by completing the study.
Well, then, I guess my fallback is we did the study sheet last year. You should look at it when you do this year. That closes, that opens all the gates back. There are 3,000 adult patterns, close to 4,000. Passing through this system.
This should be a very interesting year for us.
I would suggest
this would
be
a year we would not want to miss out on this evaluation. Just because of these numbers, it might be there.
So right now, we're talking about a repeat of last year with an addition of wintertime turbine passage. Correct?
That's what we're talking about.
And Scott, you're not supporting that one?
No, we want to consider a modified version using the data we had last year to close one of the gates, get one gate CFS back. We see that there's a significant amount of fish passing, but we'd like to refine the gates setting to get the one gate CFS. The option that we're looking at.
Yeah, I don't care about your one gate CFS. That's not the point of this. The point of this is to pass fish. Not to save you a case of that's
support. Well, I have to worry about that, Gary. And so what I'm looking at is the data, and that's why we're proposing that.
You want to stake your guys' position on that, then that's fine.
I just wonder if we can take
it. Look kind of bad.
Can we take the data that we have from the gate or gauge that we have the distance on and get a correction factor of all the juvenile size targets moving through those gates? Got your bits of data to get your Chinook out of there, whatever it is. And use that as kind of a correction factor for the other gates and get an estimate of juvenile salmonid passage for the other gates. Pretty crude, but maybe that's
it. It is. I'm just thinking that there's a way that we can evaluate this and see if there is any passage.
Because that's the only way to do that, is across the whole thing. And what it looks like.
No, it would have to. See, that's the hard part. Is what if you're going to shut down two gates, which ones? That's the question.
To me, it seems like we've got some more discussion. We don't have to make a decision today, so maybe.
No, that's definitely not going to happen right now.
Just want to make sure. Come on.
It's only 4 o'clock. We've got a couple more hours here.
We've got
five more minutes.
We've got some more people that need to present their information.
I just want to start being able to move ahead as if we're going to have a study, a real study.
We're having a study, but we don't know what the detail of the gate is.
It's purely a matter of what it is.
Okay. All right, so let's wrap that up, and we're going to have to come back to it at another date after we get some more data together and look at it and memos sent out. Your memo's going to...
Well, I'm hearing several. I've heard some different ideas and some probably need for inquiries from the researchers. I suggest that we spend the time the next time we resolve this, because we all have better things to do. This is not that big of an issue, but it's big enough. So if we can get the right people in the room, let's resolve it. If it's that F-bomb, next F-bomb, then let's
set
aside a chunk of the day. It's only, well, wait a minute, that could be a full day, I suppose.
Well, let's start there and see how it goes.
All I'm saying is let's get it done on that.
That's going around.
Okay, the 10th of September. Okay, so we're going to jump to Smith Roots. What?
Can we get the dive coordination button there?
What dive coordination?
Right, the one right under
the... That's more
favorable. Where?
What?
13.1.
Color one.
I don't have 13. No, we can't.
Oh, you get a color copy. You are
really,
because
they need to get that done.
We're not... We're going to shoot this example here.
I can print off the color one.
14.1. 14. So before we move on, there is 14.1, which is the transducer dive. We're still moving out on that. Any problem with that on the 27th of October?
Let me tell you what's going on with that.
Just quick, not...
Fenton has gone. He's already run them twice to see. Neither test period did they find any problems with transducers. So we're gonna go ahead as if that might happen.
Right.
In case he finds some problems in the near future.
So does anybody have an issue with that? Looks as if it gets pushed off.
So calibration to draw.
It must be
calibration. Is that what they were trying to learn too?
Yeah, he wants to get the dive. In case he needs to go in there, he's going to dive and replace transducers that are out with spares. That's it. 27th of October.
And it will require the ice and trash sluiceway to be closed.
27 October?
For how long?
For
6 hours. At the
6 hour. 6 hours.
Should, well, those guys, you know, could be 10 minutes. To get
say,
done.
All right. Say again. I was listening to this cell phone. What is the issue again?
If there's the transducers are down,
okay,
they need to replace it with a dive, place the trash loose way down, go down and replace it with spares.
No problem.
Yeah.
If it was the
fish units.
No.
Okay.
Zip, you're done.
Okay.
Sorry about the wait, but you know, policy and things of the
I'll do a quick introduction. This is a project from BPA's funding. It's Innovative Projects for the Council's program. You guys have heard about it a while. We're trying to get the UMT antenna put in place, and so we asked Carl to come here and make a presentation to get some input on the study design. And with that, I'll let Carl take it.
Thanks. Yeah, we're going to start on page four. You know the history, but briefly, this whole project started as a demonstration project envisioned for a small river like the Lewis or Willamette. Collectively, the management agency said, we want to see this deployed in a place that's much more relevant, i.e. Bonneville Tail Race 1. There's some talk about even broader applications. And there was a redirection that we want you to do studies on actual sea lions with food present and with lamprey, sturgeon, and steelhead to show that whether there's any effect on passage. Well, we completed those studies in hatchery settings, and then it was brought to our attention that we need to look at this thing under actual flow conditions among fish that are on active spawning migration, an idea that did not originate from Smith Roots. It originated from you collectively, the management agencies, to take this to the UMT, the next level, having had all of the hatchery static water results in hand. So here we are with a proposal from a request from the agencies to do an evaluation on fish during their active migrations under real-time flow conditions in situ in the UMT. We had made an attempt to try to do this last year. There just wasn't enough time to consider it. So we're here today. I've got John Parkin with me. John's an engineer that worked in the 205 bridge years ago, but he designed the structure that we envision for the UMT, and it's high-density poly, what do you call it, John? The actual array, polyurethane or acrylamide or something, what the structure is made out of. I can't remember the terminology you use, but it's a high-density plastic in any event. And we envision about a 40-foot section in the array. It'll change the velocity by a slight amount with I think it's up to 2.9 feet per second, something along those in that order. But the main thing is we want Matt Mesa to do this work, and I don't know if Matt's on the call. Are you there, Matt?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll give you a chance to say some things on this as well, but basically we're looking at a deployment sometime next winter with a study on Chinook in the spring, probably during April. with options to look at other species, particularly lamprey and steelhead in June, July, and to evaluate how our array works in three different ways. And if you thumb through some of the handouts, you'll see the proposed study site on page 5. And sorry you don't have this, Matt, but I actually thought you were going to be here today. But the location is just to the side of Pump House 2, close to where the black arrow indicates. It would, as I said, go in December, January, where the research Matt would do would occur in the spring and summer. We would look at three objectives. First, the soft start technology that we engineered for sturgeon that was evaluated at Abernathy. We want to determine whether that soft start approach, that gradual ramp up in power, we want to determine how it affects the behavior of fish that happen to be lying right over the array when it turns on, mostly salmonids. We don't have any data on that. So that's objective number one. Objective number two is to simulate the vision for an in-river deployment, which is an intermittent operation of the array at the very same level that deterred sea lions with food present. And the idea would be, I mean, Matt can choose however he wants to do it. We're basically giving Matt the questions to address. But one way of doing this would be a block pair study where you'd have an increment of time. And I don't know what that is, 15 minutes, an hour, a day, whatever it is. Let's say it's an hour. You'd simulate the arrival of a sea lion and turn this thing on three or four times at random for the first hour. The next hour, you do nothing. The third hour, you repeat. Three or four times turned on. The fourth hour, you do nothing. So you have a way of statistically comparing the passage rates of fish in the UMT between the on blocks of time versus the off blocks of time. And you can use a chi-square or some kind of a similar metric to determine levels of significance. So that's the second objective. The third objective is to look at a constant operation. There have been folks in this room who've talked about using this manually and using it in a constant manner, where we'd start at the level that we know deters sea lions, which is 0.6 volts per centimeter, a level that did not affect the passage of either lamprey or sturgeon, and certainly lower than the levels lamprey and steelhead, and certainly lower than the levels that affected sturgeon. So we'd start there. We would incrementally increase the voltage to 0.8 to 1. We would look at, with Ditson cameras, we would look at its effect on fish passage rates. And basically the reason for this objective is that the managers have told us, you have told us, that the marine mammal folks have told us, what if sea lions acclimate to this level that you tested down in Monterey? We may want to be able to tweak it up slightly. So that being the case, then we need to know how high can we turn this thing up without affecting the passage of fish. So we don't want to block fish movement, but we want to turn it up incrementally until we start seeing an effect. So that's essentially the proposal. If you go back to, I think it's slide 6 here, you can see the power levels that we're talking about here. I often use the comparison between the hairdryer and the bathtub and the levels we're going to use on sea lions, and it's quite a bit different. We're not talking about injurious household AC that can kill you with a toaster or an appliance or whatever in water. We're talking about the lower graph, the 1 second, where we have two brief pulses. It's 2 hertz, which is 2 pulses per second, each pulse being 0.0004 seconds in width. What that essentially means is that in a given second of time, there's no electricity in the water, 99.92% of that second. So it's two brief pulses. This is way below what you use when you go out to electrofish, as displayed in the graph at the bottom of that page. And it's way below what we use in our new portable electroanesthesia system, which operates at 60 hertz and 6 milliseconds, a device that is being used in Arkansas right now. It allows them to not have to use chemicals or have withdrawal periods. No buffers are needed. Their fish go out in 3 seconds, they put them right back in the river. So while you guys are waiting for your compound clove oil to be approved, this might be something that that might be of interest to you. But anyway, back to the point. The UMT project would be scheduled for next year. Matt, do you want to add something to this?
It sounds like what you're saying is pretty much on target. If you get, I don't know who's there. I did hear Bernie and I did hear Clugston, though, so I know that they are there.
And Gary Fredericks is here, and okay. Scott.
Hi, Patton, you guys.
Dave Wills, Tammy, several others that I'm not sure I know, but quite an array of people are here.
Well, I think the ideas that Carl is presenting to you guys are on target, but just to be a little bit more clear, what I've been asked to do by Bonneville Power is to actually spend the next month or so. I'm supposed to be putting together a detailed study plan that's really going to sort of outline in detail some of the ideas that Carl is presenting to you guys. So this is a document that, when we finish it, is going to tell you guys what will be going on next late winter, springtime, exactly how the test would be done. We hope to get the document done where there's plenty of opportunity for the personnel from the various agencies to comment on it and work with us on revising the design, dealing with questions, all that kind of stuff. So that's what I have in my box to do, and we're getting started on that. We have started on that already. So,
Matt, this is Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, have you been down into the observation area in the UMT and seen that?
No, I haven't yet.
I would suggest getting in there and taking a hard look at what you're going to be able to see to make sure that your the things you want to observe, the metrics that you're going to use are doable. That's the one area I have concern with, is that we have a limited amount of window space. The channel is full width there. There's no crowder. There's no lights, although I think you can probably put lights in. There's some turbidity issues, so you'll have to look at what's realistic, because what we're really going to be looking at is the kind of metrics we're going to use in terms of fish response. And I, for one, don't want to see a response. I would hope that we can develop treatment levels that stay below any observable response from salmon. So I try to stay away from, the actual response. Hopefully, using some laboratory work, maybe that you've seen responses at.
Well, we've done that, Gary.
We've figured that out.
I back away from that. I really don't want. These are wild fish or listed fish, a lot of them, and we really don't want to see a response. Right. What we want to do is stay below that. So I know your desire is to see how high you can go, but I don't want to go there. I don't want to go to the point where we actually cause a problem. So I would determine some levels of treatment that you think are below the level that you would get a response from, and then test those, but still within the level that you would use to deter sea lions, obviously.
Well, at 0.6, we're not expecting to see any effect on fish because we didn't see any effect on lamprey or steelhead in studies at hatcheries. At 0.8, Matt began to see an effect on his steelhead, but we doubled the sea lion level from 0.6 volts per centimeter to 1.2. And we didn't see any effect on lamprey in Matt's study. It wasn't until he went to triple the sea lion level that he saw an adverse effect on lamprey. So for lamprey, there's a lot of wiggle room. For salmon,
like
you
it.
Begin to see an effect at 0.8.
Yeah. And that kind of gives you then some idea
exactly.
of what you want to stay below that
right.
level, because that, in your objective three here, that I think it's the third bullet, that's the one I get concerned about.
Your point is well taken, though, about going to the UMT and looking at it and see what it is. We have a couple of ideas, but it was already on our agenda to do is to get down there to the bill with Ben and go in there to the UMT and check it out and see what we're up against.
We've had our scientists there and we've had our engineers there, John Parkin, went in and did measurements, but there's nothing like a first-hand glimpse for a researcher before they...
Yeah. Because he's going to develop the methods, and that's what we're all really interested in seeing, are what those evaluation methods are. So.
Because of visibility is questionable, they did go to Ditson. Ditson's the main focus of
That's another thing. Right, how big is a Ditson these days?
Well, we've got a long-range one. They're short-range ones, but, I mean, we can easily see 60 meters, so we were going to place this thing upstream of the actual array.
What I'm concerned about is the size of the thing causing its own response.
Right.
And so we've got to be
that's
careful.
That's a valid concern.
And there are we've been using video cameras and ladders for years. I don't know exactly what their size either is, but
have you got underwater?
Underwater, right. So
well, if you've got something there, we want to take a look at it.
Yeah, but those are video cameras. Right. So, yeah, those are video cameras. And so I don't know if a Ditson gets down to that size or not. What I remember a Ditson being,
it's
this big, so.
Yeah, they're big, and we had concerns about that.
Yeah, but maybe the new ones aren't. I don't know what.
Well, we were going to put it mounted such that it would be close to the side of the array looking downstream, but still you could have an effect. And I don't know if there's a way of shielding around that or what, but
you want to be careful there.
I know.
You want to put some thought into how you get that in there.
Well, these are the kinds of things, the bugs that have to be addressed that Matt will address in his proposal for final review by the Corps and others. I mean, it's really up to the Corps to provide the access letter, and if folks don't want this project, that's fine. But we're happy to do it, and we're happy to lend more information that would allow you to then make decisions about whether this technology moves forward. Frankly, I'll be surprised if we see anything in a river in the next 10 or 20 years. Having worked in the basin, things happen extremely slow. Extremely slow, especially new, innovative things.
Hey, Matt, this is Dennis Schwartz.
Dennis?
We want to make sure we also look at, have you guys investigated any shad response to this thing? The reason being is if you have a shad response, you block, those things are really stacked up. We have issues associated with stacking. And then how we would measure a response if fish are falling back down the UMT and back down to the Cascade Island ladder,
right.
How we would measure that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're looking for a passage response past the window.
Right.
But how would we measure a response falling back?
Okay.
Further down
the system.
Failure to enter?
Yeah, fairly inert or encourage fish to fall back and, spend more time in the Cascade Island.
We've talked about marking or radio tagging or some way, but, I mean, you could add lots of money to this project if you wanted to mark individual fish and then look at their movements. So.
Yeah, you might just at least count as they come into the UMT. There may be a way of getting an idea of fish passing hydroacoustically or whatever. Just know what's going up, and you can get an up and down count. I don't know.
We'll look at whatever you guys want us to look at.
If you block test under standard condition, you feel safe enough. You should be able to tell if there's a lot more of them that are not passing. So you're going to have, if they fall back, at least you're going to know.
Pass what?
That.
Well, they fall
so
back.
If they're not falling back, if they're passing through at the same rate, then that probably isn't an issue. Unless they're going through it and then dropping back some other way, which is, who knows.
No,
I guess you're looking at long-term behavioral changes.
Well, no, I'm thinking that there's no. We don't have a count station below that. Right. Do you think it is?
Not well. You could. I mean, you could
know what enters. And you're not until you get to the area where you're actually looking. You're not going to know what's going on.
Exactly. Yeah. So you
got
fish
are getting there and then falling back down out of the UFT channel, but not really being seen at the window. You don't know that, but if you do have some way of enumerating fish at some point in the UMT, then you can look at upstream, downstream counts.
That's
right.
Assuming you're not observing the effect.
Well, the only effect you'd be measuring is the total loss of fish actually ejecting the ladder from the UMT.
Well, I figure if you're observing this area where they're passing, you can do a block test with nothing on. With this baby running.
It's never nothing on. That's the thing. You've got the structure out there.
No, we're not going to have any power on.
Structure and
the thing is you'd have to get a test before
it gets in. You're talking about the relative effect of the structure,
right.
Not
you need basically no structure in, structure and no power, structure with power.
Yeah, I don't know how easy it is. Yeah, it's not
but
that
you can't
easy.
Do no structure.
Different time
right?
periods.
So it's got to be
a different run.
Measured before, but the problem is that'd be a third block.
It's not a block of time. It's outside.
And then you get
I don't think you could do a no structure in, isn't that right?
I don't think not with the structure as you've designed it. No, and that would be much more complex. Now, I'm thinking if you just knew what went upstream, further down the channel, the upstream downstream counts. It doesn't have to be exact,
It'll be acoustic.
You got there all as orifice went, so when they fall back, they tend to go up above often, so that's not necessarily.
Can you do a single beam acoustic?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, is single beam acoustic. So
on bottom belt?
Yeah, one, two, or three.
We're doing a spring Chinook evaluation, so we'll at least have to take that potentially.
Well,
so
that would start moving. If you get enough through there. It just doesn't tell you about Dennis's concern. That's what got me thinking about it, was if there's a lot of shad in there and it's starting to build up. You figure that out. You see a ton of fish go by.
When are we going to stop this thing, too? If we don't go that late in the season, maybe.
Well, I heard Carl say in the summer.
Well, we'll do whatever you guys want. I mean, Dennis, we've tried to prioritize things. No, we haven't looked at Chad. I mean, I had a gal from Oregon want us to look at dusky geese and otters. I mean, you got to pick your what you're going to do here. We thought we would do this in the springtime for spring Chinook. We thought we would take a look at lamprey and steelhead in June, July. We can do fall Chinook and coho. We're leaving that up to you guys to tell us what you want, because after all, as I said, this idea did not hatch within Smith Roop.
Yeah.
July, when we start getting into the height of the lamprey season, I'm a little concerned because you are increasing velocities in here beyond what's really best for them.
The design John made has a nose cone that's really flush with the bottom, so there's not going to be any lip.
It's still, you're increasing the velocity.
We are increasing the velocity slightly.
2.5 to 2.9.
But we're well below
the
four.
The edge of what makes a difference.
Well, we can see.
How does that compare with the velocities going up the ladder?
Depends on where you are.
No, but
and the ladders are already problematic for lamprey for most of them.
And I want to say we looked high and low for a river system to run this thing. As far as my old friends in Alaska, and we looked for Spiro down at Little White, we looked at Carson. We kept getting not in my backyard. We looked at, where was it down in Oregon? We talked to, was it John North, Matt?
Yeah, we had some possibilities down in Oregon, but it was also hard doing this stuff out. Somebody mentioned it earlier, but we ran into issues, of course, in almost every watershed we tried to go to with ESA-listed fish.
We've already established that the steelhead and all are the most sensitive to these fields. So if we find... if you don't find an effect on them from the field itself, then I'd say we're probably fairly comfortable. It's the effect on the of putting the structure in that's the secondary concern, I guess, of people. And for me, especially for lamprey. So I think we could test the field reality by a block test of seeing if there's any changes in numbers passing. And that's where you got to look at the historic move. Passage numbers during that time, you're going to do right. Your study to see what kind of block size you need.
Right.
Yeah, that's...
So you get
if we had pink salmon or something, constant replenishment every 15 minutes, we'd have 15-minute blocks. Yeah. It'd be perfect.
And
but
it may need to
that.
Change. I mean, that's the problem. You're going to have an increase in numbers, so you may have to find out when it's
right.
Optimal. But it's...
That's the approach that would tell you whether passage was being affected in it with any statistically meaningful way is to compare on and off times. But, we have to give careful thought to what the increment of time should be. Should it be 15 minutes? Should it be an hour? Should it be a day? That's where we need to look at the historic run timing records and decide where we get the biggest bang for the buck.
Speaking from the project's perspective, the one thing I struggle with a little bit and is how you take a leap from putting this in the UMT and how you move it and size it up to something that would consider to be put in the tail race of Bonneville, and how the data you're getting here in the UMT would be applied to the tail race effect. Because I don't know if, and this is the electrical side, is how you take something in a 5-foot by 6-foot channel, and then you ramp it up into something that's much larger prototype laying in the tail race, and how much energy that requires to create a field compared to, in the fish channel, where we wouldn't be using it in our fish ways, mm-hmm. but we would, how we want to apply it back to the tail race.
The next applications, that's a huge step. And so we're trying to do it in
Right. But the original design was to deter sea lions in the tail race of Bonneville Dam.
Actually, it was the Willamette River or the Lewis River, a much smaller system where you could shut it off in a day and walk away if it didn't work.
Right.
You could do everything right there on a real small scale, just like you do at Erdick.
Yeah.
You work the bugs out on a small scale design, but this has evolved quite a bit.
It's a really ambitious scale. So the next application is most likely to be this device. would be either to put an array in front of one of the ladders to give it more area that the sea lion couldn't get to the ladder, or put it in the draft tubes to help them sturgeon. And so once we know that we're not having an effect on the ESA listed fish, you could apply it these other ways. Then that might be the next baby steps before you go to something that would be as ambitious as trying to span the river or span a whole section of the powerhouse.
Yeah, I guess that was in mind. At my office, I mean, trouble guys are they're very concerned about this. I mean,
you know,
anything that affects Gulf Pass, especially at Bonneville, they're very touchy about it. So.
You know, Tom, I was blown away because it's not intuitive, but our engineer showed me a model where the field at Tail Race 1 is actually more homogeneous and less concentrated than the fields that Matt and Ken Ostrian tested in hatchery raceways because they're using plate electrodes. And that field, although it takes more energy in a 40-foot column of water, the actual field itself is going to be lower in intensity than the ones we tested in raceways, and more controllable and more homogeneous. It's not intuitive.
Except for right on top of it.
Right on top of the electrodes, but you know, you're talking about a circumference right around.
Potentially shielded.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And we looked at that to some degree on stage. Anyway, any more questions, guys? I know you got a busy schedule. Dave?
Well, the structure that goes into the UMT.
Yep.
I know you're trying to design it so it doesn't increase the velocities too much, doesn't you up, but if it for some reason is a real crapper, how easy is it to remove it?
Easy. John, you want to talk about that? Or do you want me to?
It's designed to be lowered down to sections, and the only fastening is above the water level. So it's going to be...
Turnbuckles?
Turnbuckled down, and so it's forced down to the bottom. And all you have to do is release the turnbuckles and lift it straight out of there.
Do you need to put personnel in the water?
Nobody
in the water. Nobody needs to be in the water.
What kind of a lift?
You can lower it down.
It's not a crane, you would have to...
Yeah, there's a roadway right above. So it can be just craned in and out.
But that, you know, right now as it stands, that's going to be an active passive structure. We're not scheduled to take that out of service right now.
No. But we're going to do it at low flow.
Low flow?
Well, somebody described a way to dampen the flows with some kind of structure upstream. I don't know who mentioned that.
We can put in a bulkhead.
Yeah, something like that to ameliorate the flows. I use the wrong words.
But there's usually fish in there, so the project would have to get in and dewater it, and I don't think you guys have it budgeted this year.
No.
Nor is
we're not planning on a dewater this year.
Has to be, if you wanted it in this winter, it would need to be dewatered by the project, otherwise fish will be in your way.
Okay, that was not what we talked about before.
No. I had told you we could potentially dewater the UMT separate of the fishways, but we usually end up with fish in the UMT, so we would have to get in there and get those fish out.
Okay, maybe I'm remembering it correctly, but reduce flows, the way this thing works just sets right in. There's not very high velocities, and it's a light structure.
Can you just step back on the auxiliary supply?
Like, go to Orifice Flow?
We can go to Orifice Flow in Cascades Island. And we can put the bulkhead in at the north end, but you still have, what, 3 or 4 feet of water, so you don't know. Yeah, you got to put the bulkhead in.
At the UMT.
But would the fish be okay for a day or two?
Well, couldn't we go through there with a backpack?
You won't know what's there. I mean...
But anything that may be in there, would there be enough
water? You can squish them if you can't see them. It's the problem. You get lamprey, you get the... So would you be able to guarantee that it's flush with the floor if you can't see what's in your way? You get debris in there, you get rocks in there. If all you're doing is screwing it down from the top, if there's debris down there, then you're not going to know.
And there is debris in that channel.
Right, but in that section right there.
Throughout the whole channel.
You can't tell. Tammy, you just measured right to the bottom and have a fixed point on top, and when you put the structure down, if it's not sitting all the way down and the two points don't match up, then you know you have something underneath it.
But then what do you do?
Hopefully with the sturgeon.
Yeah, you can do that. But it's still, the project hasn't scheduled to put in that.
We haven't scheduled the dewatering.
But we'll make a request for it if that's what you think we need to do.
Then you guys got to figure out the budget.
Off other work, winter maintenance items.
I mean, we weren't planning on.
We delayed it this year already because we didn't want to rush earlier. We've known about it for nearly a year. So if we didn't think we needed to dewater it to do this, if we do need to do it, we would like to make a request for one and get that in place.
the install process is a, how long?
Well, we envision a couple of hours. I mean, we have a certified crane operator that, you know, would lower the structure into place, and we just detect the turn buckles and we're done. But there's been some doubt expressed about how fast it can be done, so we've blocked out a 3-day period of time, but we think that's overkill. We think well within a day we could put this in.
If you bulkhead that, don't dewater it. Mm-hmm. Can you put a diver in and have a diver go through and make sure that there aren't any, while it's being put in?
Or a Disson.
Well, I'm thinking you need eyes.
Lower a diver
down in there
with the equipment.
A diver can crawl in with a ladder.
You put a ladder.
It's not a huge thing. It's not a huge area. So I mean,
no. He can crawl in with a ladder.
This thing isn't that long. But if there's a diver in there looking to make sure there's no fish in it, because I don't, salmon are going to get stuck by this thing.
No. Maybe but why couldn't Gary? Why couldn't we just use a backpack electrofish or a couple of them?
We don't shop them.
No.
Go there.
They'll power it up as I put it
down. Well, just something on the design. If the design increases velocity to a level that's not acceptable, is there a way to redesign this system where you just attach the panels directly on the wall? I mean, that would take a little more work. Mm-hmm. But you wouldn't have that frame to, you'd constrict on a quarter inch each side or half inch each side as opposed to.
Well, it makes it more difficult to
right.
move.
Right.
Right.
But if you have just sheeting on a wall, it's not going to, I don't know if it's going to affect the hydraulics.
Why was it dewatered last year? I guess I don't understand all the ramifications.
We dewater certain powerhouses and flip flop every year. So this year, second powerhouse is not on the schedule to be dewatered.
So is there access on each side of the UMT from the surface? Can you walk along the sides of it from on top?
No, just one side of it.
Just one side. Yeah.
You can access one side of it, right by the way.
We're done. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, it's time to wrap it up. People are leaving.
Good start.
So, to wrap this up, we're going to get a detailed design from Mesa to, you know, run it through the region, get comments. As far as coordinating with the project through Scott and Shane, how we're going to install this, to work on that, and that's the next step. As far as the rest of the agenda, looks like it's going to have to get pushed off. It's 4:30, and we've already lost several people. Thanks for
putting this on the October F-bomb to discuss. The study plan will be available in
October. Sure.
Yeah, his study plan's due end of September.
Okay.
So we can have that out.
Now we may consider a special meeting.
I think that might be a fitter way to type. Special meeting.
Next F-bomb here, September 10.
In the morning.
Yep.
In the morning.
Afternoon meetings don't seem to work too well.
9 a.m.
Yes.
The contract is let down.